evening of October 28th, 2025. And here at the InfoWars embattled headquarters in Austin, Texas, we just learned that the House Judiciary Committee just released documents from the Arctic Frost criminal globalist dragnet against President Trump that I was one of the central targets to be taken down, not just the U.S. senators. We're about to reveal this treasonous information right now. Well, the head of the House Judiciary Committee, just about an hour ago, released documents he got from Senator Chuck Grassley's Judiciary Committee that proves that Jack Smith and the Democratic Party had a giant illegal dragnet in Operation Arctic Frost, not just on nine U.S. senators and House members, not just on Trump, his family, and his lawyers, that's totally illegal, without even warrants, but on journalists like Alex Jones. In fact, I'm the only journalist listed on there, and they talk in the documents about how they couldn't get it through a subpoena because we blocked that, but they got my phone records through a civil lawsuit, which the Justice Department has already been caught previously running. Total, complete violation of rights, conspiracy against rights, absolute violation of my civil rights. Incredible. So here's the Arctic Frost investigation, now being exposed by Senator Chuck Grassley, one of the biggest scandals in U.S. history. Biden FBI spied on eight, it's now nine, Republican senators as part of Arctic Frost investigation. Grassley oversight reveals. Merrick Garland, Chris Ray signed off on Arctic Frost probe. The target GOP group spied on senators. Documents showed. And here are the new documents that have been released. And they say a lot more is coming. So much of it is blacked out. But when you get deeper into who they admit that they were illegally spying on, Alex Jones's cell phone, Patrick Cipollone, White House counsel, spying on the president's lawyers, totally illegal. John DeSanto, senator, it goes on and on and on. James Fitzpatrick, Sarah Hall Clay Lee, that's the name of the lawyers. Andrew Hitt, Wisconsin Republican Party chair. Greg Jacob, counsel to Vice President Pence, deputy assistant to the president. Total spy dragnet. Deputy White House counsel, Patrick Philbin. Robert Senators, director of election day operations in Georgia. And it goes on and on. Another senator, Judy Ward. Their lawyer, Jim Clancy. And then the law firms of the Republican Party and Trump spying on all of them in live time, using back channels to get a copy of my cell phone. This is what these people are up to. I am honored to have been targeted by these people. And, of course, they never indicted me for J6. I was there trying to stop people going in the building. Trump said peacefully march the Capitol. We had a stage set up, and the Fed's insurrection, the FBI director got caught lying about, had 274 FBI agents there helping foment the riot. And so now this has all come out. I'm really proud of our reporter, Brianna Morello, who broke this hours before Jim Jordan even released the information. She got it from his House Judiciary Committee, again, who got it from Senator Grassley's committee. And we're told a lot more is about to be released, a lot more revelations. We have Secretary of State Marco Rubio coming out. Of course, there were 12 names the State Department was secretly targeting. I'm on that list. I mean, this is quite the story. But why were they targeting me? Because they know I understand their blueprint. They know I've rallied tens of millions of people for the cause of America. And if they can shut me down, they believe they can shut down everybody else after me. They need to silence me. They need to put me in prison so they can then misrepresent me and build straw men. I can tell you, we already have lawsuits going against these people, but now we have serious conspiracy against my rights, violations of process, absolute total government racketeering, and we are going to be taking legal action against this. But imagine what more is going to come out next. This is a government weaponized against the American people. This is the type of garbage we're talking about with the DOJ and private law firms.
Methylene red is the ultimate complement to methylene blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel methylene blue, you feel this. So
look at this, look at it.
Here's your normal methylene blue, right? Look at methylene red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got methylene blue and you got methylene red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to the alexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning and welcome to The American Journal. Oh, we got a lot to talk about today. I'm excited that you're all joining us. Of course, a lot happening yesterday. A lot of things dropping late last night that we wanted to make sure you guys knew all about. And, of course, we're learning more about the Biden regime's corruption, the deep state operatives who are working behind the scenes to make sure that they could steal another election. Well, thankfully, they were unable to do just that. And there was even financial incentives, $4 million if they could get, one of the aides could get Joe Biden reelected. Well, that's all you need when you want to steal another election. You just need the dollars behind it, and maybe they could do just that. But unfortunately for them, they were unable to do just that. So a lot happening today, a lot of stuff we've got to expose. So I'm excited that you're all joining us today. Joining me in about 25 minutes is my good friend, Mr. Chad Prather. He will be on the show. And he's got a lot to sound off on as well. So we look forward to having him on, as well as Mel Kay. Mel Kay, obviously, someone we always want to talk to when it comes to exposing the corruption and what the globalists are trying to do behind the scenes. And I'm sure she's got a lot to sound off on as well. So let's kick things off by just doing some overview as to President Trump's trip in Asia. Oh gosh, you guys are going to love this. So President Trump yesterday was in Asia and he met with a lot of important leaders, but most importantly, he was actually given an award. We're going to play clip one for you because this comes just days after the No Kings rally, and this is really going to trigger those on the left. Take a listen.
Your achievements in paving the way toward peace on the Korean Peninsula 6 years ago, and in anticipation of the peace and prosperity you will bring to the Korean Peninsula, we present you this medal with our deepest appreciation.
Thank you very much. That's as beautiful as it could possibly be.
Now, isn't that funny? They gave him a medal, but it's actually a crown. Following the No Kings rally days, of course. Now, this is great. This is epic. This is going to piss off those on CNN and MSNBC this morning. And so we want to make sure you saw just that. But President Trump spent his day yesterday in Asia touting his financial and economic successes. Take a listen to clip two.
In 9 months, we've lifted over 600,000 Americans off food stamps. Wages for workers are rising at the fastest pace in more than 60 years. And meanwhile, energy prices are down. Gasoline prices are down. Grocery prices are down. Mortgage rates are down, despite the fact that we have an incompetent head of the Fed. He's incompetent. I call him Jerome Too Late. He's always too late. Jerome Too Late Powell. But he's out of there in another couple of months. We'll be very happy about that.
Yes, we will be. And rates are down. They should be down significantly more. But as the president just said, Jerome Powell, not a fan of a booming U.S. economy, and said he reports to globalists and not to the American people. Now, it's important to note, too, President Trump claiming he has lifted 600,000 Americans off of food stamps. According to the current data we have available, there are over 42 million, that's million with an M, Americans, or people, I should say, because we don't know if they're all Americans, people currently on the SNAP benefits program. We'll talk a little bit more about that, too, with Chad Prather. But President Trump, he's optimistic, and later this week, he's expected to meet with the leader of the CCP, Xi Jinping. Now, President Trump is expected to land some deals and to I guess loosen up some tight ends with our loose ends with the CCP about rare earth minerals and more. Take a listen to clip three.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much, and I want to thank all of your people, many of whom I know, and we've been dealing. They're very tough negotiators, and that's the way it should be. And I will say that we're working together. There's a great love between our communities, between our people, between leadership, and we're all friends. I know you showed me a picture from a long time ago of you and I, and you're looking better now than you did then. That was quite a while ago, so you're doing something well. But I will say this, that the Korean Peninsula, and I know you are officially at war, but we will see what we can do to get that all straightened out. We've been very lucky. I've been very fortunate to be able to solve a lot of problems in the world. I didn't even know there were so many problems. There were countries that nobody knew that they were even fighting, and yet they were killing millions and millions of people. And we got them, with the exception of one, which I think we're going to get straightened out, Russia, Ukraine. But we got them all done, all finished. And you know that I'll be working on this very hard with you, with your team, with a lot of other people, see if we can do something that makes sense. I know Kim Jong-un very well. We get along very well. We really weren't able to work out timing. We have President Xi is coming tomorrow, and that was something that obviously is very important to the world, to all of us. You'll be watching very carefully. We're meeting right here, and we're all looking forward to that. I think it's going to work out very, very well.
We do think it's going to work out very, very well, because the President of the United States is great when it comes to negotiating a deal, and he is not going to let up, hopefully, on the CCP. You know, he's not like his predecessor, the guy who they claim was running the White House, Joe Biden. I want to turn to just that. I want to talk about Joe Biden for a bit, because we're learning more about how bad Joe Biden's health actually was behind the scenes. Now, we all knew that he was declining rapidly, not doing well, was pretty much just a warm body and nothing more. And the people who were working behind the scenes on all of this, well, they are claiming that they knew nothing, and they're still playing dumb. Take a listen to clip four, because this is what they've been telling the House committees that are investigating them, and they're trying to play dumb. Take a listen.
Was the number one issue in the campaign the president's fitness or his age?
Did you ever see President Biden in a wheelchair?
I do not recall ever seeing President Biden in a wheelchair.
And new information now on the people in his inner circle and how the cover-up actually operated.
Senior aides that worked here until just a couple months ago, the beginning of this year, manipulating an ailing president for their own gain.
How much were you paid for your role in the campaign in 2024?
Just a little bit short of $4 million.
I'm sorry, how much?
$4 million.
You believed that the president should stay in the race. Your own financial stake in the matter was a factor in any way in your advice to the president.
I don't believe that.
And when it comes to President Biden's decline, the official word from Biden World about all these news stories is that nothing has been revealed this week that shows that President Biden was anything but an effective president.
Yes, I noticed that he was aging in terms of his physical condition. I noticed that, you know, he shuffled more.
That he has more stumbling over words and gaffes than he did, you know, at the beginning of the term.
His rhetorical skills were not as strong as they had been, and his speeches were less effective, I thought.
We talked about age. We knew it was an issue, and we tried to design a strategy.
We had a discussion at the senior advisor level about whether the president should have a cognitive exam.
Flashback now to the legacy media's complete denial of the president's cognitive decline.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
His mental acuity is great. It's fine. It's as good as it's been over the years.
He is sharp. He is on top of things.
Do you regret saying that President Biden had a mental acuity? He had a sharpness to him.
I said what I believe to be true.
And you think he was as sharp as you?
I said I had not seen decline. And I hadn't.
He is
just fine. How people interpret that is up to them.
We're watching the testimony of this woman here, Annie Thomas Sr. She's the former senior advisor to President Joe Biden. She was the third person set to appear before James Comer's committee. She has now taken the fifth. There is now a pattern of key Biden confidants seeking to shield themselves from criminal liability for this potential conspiracy.
Were you ever told to lie about the president's health?
The advice of counsel, I must respectfully decline to answer based upon the physician-patient privilege and in reliance on my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
Let the record reflect that Dr. O'Connor has invoked the Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. Dr. O'Connor, did you ever believe the president was unfit to execute his duties as president?
And we can tell you that you will have the same answer with respect to any questions that are asked.
Did any unelected official or family member of President Joe Biden execute the duties of the presidency?
Did Joe Biden, a member of his family, or anyone at the White House ever instruct you to lie regarding his health?
On the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer the question pursuant to my Fifth Amendment rights under the Constitution.
And if that wasn't shocking enough, Dick Tapper claims Hunter Biden was basically acting like the chief of staff.
Hunter was driving the decision-making for the family. He was almost like a chief of staff.
Did you notice an uptick ever when Hunter Biden was around?
Yes. Towards the end, I think he was living with the president.
They were lying not just to the public. They were lying to other Democrats.
Hear that. It sounds like a massive cover-up. We're going to play more of that key testimony from so many Biden aides who decided to just cover up the administration. This is absolutely insane that they thought they were going to get away with it. But so far, there's no criminal charges, but there should be. And we're not the only ones thinking that. Congressman James Comer is also urging the D.C. Board of Medicine to investigate the physician you saw in that video, Kevin O'Connor. Now, they're saying that they're looking into possibly his involvement in the coordinated cover-up of Joe Biden's medical decline. Now, again, they're hoping possibly for him to lose his medical license, and rightfully so. Folks, Joe Biden didn't just randomly develop prostate cancer overnight just days after leaving the White House. He had prostate cancer, and if they intentionally hid that from the American people, well, there's a big issue in regards to that. All of a sudden now he's got, what, bone cancer? I mean, they just keep saying it's escalating or it's spreading rapidly. There's no way that's the case. You paid attention. If you're watching InfoWars, if you're watching my show, you know that we've been telling you that the president, or the so-called president, was leaving the White House on the weekends and was going on all of these random vacations. He spent the bulk of his term in the White House on vacation, days off, lots of them. It's very likely that he was receiving medical treatment during all of that, and they all knew it, of course. They just won't say it because they don't want to get in trouble. So right now we have a cover-up for the cover-up, but there's going to be another cover-up if there's no criminal charges filed. You got it? So if you're someone who's now wondering, well, what the heck's next? Well, criminal charges need to follow. And speaking of just that, I wanted to shift gears up a little bit to Arctic Frost. And while I was just going to bring up Arctic Frost, actually President Trump just went on Truth Social and posted about Arctic Frost. He just put out a post on Truth Social saying these thugs should all be investigated and put in prison. A disgrace to humanity. Deranged Jack Smith is a criminal. That coming from the president's Truth Social account just moments ago. Interesting enough, it appears all is right. President's got that one in the bag. These are criminals. In fact, they were using Jack Smith to go behind the scenes and try to gather things that they normally wouldn't be able to legally gather. In fact, they even use the committees, they even use the FBI field offices to go after and target individuals. People who weren't even really involved in politics. Even our own Alex Jones was wrapped up into all of this. Take a look at that. His phone records, it looks like. Possibly an email. I'll find out more later this afternoon. We look forward to doing just that. And of course, those records looks like might have been handed over by an attorney. We don't know, though. And this is my opinion, of course. But let's talk about the details regarding Arctic Frost and the recent document dump that we just learned of yesterday. Now, I got my hands on this, of course, and then the Judiciary Committee did release it, of course. But it's about 198 pages. A lot of it's heavily redacted. I strongly disagree with that, and I'll explain why in a little bit. But the new documents outline how the Operation Arctic Frost used FBI field offices to carry out its probe. Again, it's a special prosecutor's office. It shouldn't be using the FBI field offices, but it did. You're wondering how much it cost U.S. taxpayers just to get these interviews going. About 40 interviews cost about $16,000, over $16,000, I should say. It had an outline of all different people who were targeted in this, up to 45 individuals. Among those were people you and I both like a lot. Scott Perry, Steve Bannon, Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark, John Eastman, Mark Meadows, my good old friend, Bernie Kerik as well, who sadly passed away, but he was also wrapped into all of this. And also another 111 individuals who are possibly, we're not 100% certain, because again, we're not getting all the documents as of yet, but other individuals who are also wrapped up into this, Peter Navarro, Ed Martin, of course, Dan Scavino, and Jeff Rosen. So this is just some of the names. And again, I was looking at it. Harmy Dillon's law firm is named into this document dump as well. Obviously, we told you about Charlie Kirk's Turning Point was listed in this as well. There are so many people, so many companies, so many lawyers who were targeted in all of this. This has me fired up, folks. This really has me fired up because this is what they were doing. They were looking for anything that they could try to go after President Trump with. They literally casted the widest net humanly possible and sought to possibly grab someone. Now, the results of that were failed criminal charges in some cases, but not for this specific one. We saw what they tried to do in Fulton County. A lot of these names that are popping up in Arctic Frost were also included in the indictment in Fulton County. They were all working together. Why do you think so many of these special prosecutors or these individuals like the Fulton County prosecutors were somehow making their way into the White House? Why do you think that was? We told you about the White House meetings. We told you about all of that. We told you about how the special prosecutor, Fannie Willis's boyfriend, her lover boy, was making his way into the White House. Why do you think he was there? Because they were all linking all of this together. This wasn't special investigations, individuals, separate. These were all the same thing. What you saw here is by far one of the worst crimes ever committed in American history. They didn't want President Trump to make his way back into the White House. That was the goal. That was the goal. The goal was to put him in prison for the rest of his life. And I don't know how he was able to avoid all of this, honestly. I don't think any American, if you did all of this to them, would be able to avoid any of this. You see, there are so many federal laws on the books. We probably have all committed a felony unknowingly, of course. But when you sit here and you have all these special prosecutors gunning for you, you probably won't be able to survive. But President Trump has been able to survive. Why? Because he's not a criminal. And so time and time again, we see this. We see more evidence of this. And we're just all waiting. What's going to come of this? It's enraging, folks. It really, really is enraging. And it's even worse because we spoke about it last week. We spoke about how people like Adam Kinzinger, according to a report, handed over information or was looking to hand over. We don't know if the FBI actually took it, but things that he obtained that he didn't actually have warrants to obtain, he tried his best to cough it over to the FBI prior to the elections. That was the so-called Republican on the J6 committee. Remember him? Oh, the one who did nothing wrong and needed a pardon because, well, he was afraid that President Trump was going to go after him. Remember him? It's not just him, though. Now we're learning more again. Betty Thompson, Liz Cheney, all colluded with the special prosecutor Jack Smith to target President Donald Trump. Now, again, this is all due to a 2022 letter from the J6 committee, of course. This now just being released again by the GOP Judiciary Committee. I don't know what else more to say about this. It is quite obvious that what they did here is treason. It is very obvious. If this doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what else will. I don't care if you don't like President Trump. These people had no reason to be investigated. And people are still dealing with the lawfare. Jeff Clark is still dealing with the lawfare. In fact, in the Arctic Frost dump, I've told you guys before, Jeff Clark friend of mine, good human being, great patriot, loves this country. He's one of us when it comes to how much he loves this country and is willing to fight for this country. Stepped up to the plate when he realized that election fraud was very likely taking place in 2020 when there was a big push not to investigate those claims. AG Bill Barr, and there's people intervening, AG Bill Barr, he stepped up to the plate and spoke to the president about potentially helping out with the investigation. President Trump, now it's outlined in Arctic Frost, President Trump didn't want him to send that letter over to Georgia to warn them of the election fraud tips that were pouring in. So the letter was never sent. Him and President Trump never colluded to go out there and to try to stop the results from being finalized in Georgia. But he was still a target. He's still a target to this day. They're actually still trying to get him disbarred in D.C. And thankfully, Bill Barr, even after all of this, is still fighting for Jeff Clark, actually, because he doesn't want to see him get disbarred. He actually wrote him a letter, and he's writing it to the D.C. bar. He sent it in, and he's looking, and so is the DOJ, looking to stop the lawfare from going after Jeff Clark, because Jeff Clark did nothing wrong. Arctic Frost, the latest document dump, highlights just that. So that's another key element to all of this. But when you're going through the list of people who are involved in this, it highlights what they tried to do. They tried to ruin these people's lives. And these are the same names that are circulating. Why? Well, when they want to hit you with lawfare, they want to bankrupt you, they want to wipe you out clean, they need you to fold and to go after President Trump. And that's exactly what they were doing here. Everyone that was involved in Arctic Frost and all of these special prosecutions all across the country, they need to go to prison. They need to be disbarred, and they need to go to prison. This will happen again and again and again. And I think that's the reason why you're not seeing a really strong DOJ right now, because I truly think that they fear when the roles, obviously the tables turn, that they might be on the receiving end of the lawfare, and they just don't want that. But then don't take on these roles. Don't take on these roles. Because what we are uncovering, what you are going to uncover, is very, very ugly, and it shows that these people who were involved in our government were extremely corrupt. The people who claim to defend democracy, well, they did their very best to intervene in our democracy, our voting system that we have here in this country. It's infuriating. It truly is infuriating. The American people voted for Donald Trump to be president of the United States 3 times, and they did their very best to stop that. Thankfully, that didn't work. Pam Bondi, of course, putting out a statement in regards to Joe Biden's auto pen as well, is worth highlighting, saying my team has already initiated a review of the Biden administration's reported use of auto pens for pardons. Thanks, AG Pam Bondi. We're excited to see that sitting on your desk as well. Folks, I want to remind you all, we just launched the Android version of the, and it's just alexjonesapp.com. Know the alexjonesapp.com. Head on over there right now. Download the app. When you do, you're going to get a 20% off exclusive promo code they could use over at the alexjonesstore.com. And we just launched yesterday methylene red. So head on over there. It's a great one to pair up with your methylene blue. Just launched that yesterday. Head on over there. Grab yourself a bottle of that. It is going to help boost your mental clarity. This is really, really important, folks, and we're excited to have this. It's not one of those watered down multivitamins. This is something that is a clinical grade product that is going to boost your mental health, your brain health. So head on over right now to the shop and grab yourself some methylene red over at the alexjonesstore.com right now. All right, don't go anywhere. Chad Prather's joining me next, and we've got a lot to sound off about. As you can tell, I'm very fired up these days. So stay put. We got more to sound off on.
I just recommend the people personal relationship with God, praying to God, saying, I want to be good. I want to recognize truth. I want to know what truth is. I want to open myself up to you. I'm an imperfect. I repent for what I've done, and I want you to cleanse me and then show me the truth and then show me how to be a better person and then show me after that what the mission is you have for me. And literally, if you do that through a process, it may take days, may take months, may take years. Then the adventure begins, and then all of a sudden you're being given like intel and stuff, like, and like literally just, you have to learn to go with it. It's never wrong, and it's God, and it's there, and it's your personal relationship. And then obviously people get this relationship. They all want to teach other people it, and God says get together in groups. That's great. But Christ didn't try to go get the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priest class to join him. He said their minds were closed. he went to the prostitutes, the tax collectors, and the robbers, the thieves, because they were already outcasts. But that's where he found people that were already under evil's control but weren't arrogant about it, who were looking for a way out. And so, I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to, is a spiritual relationship with God. And there are some real churches and things.
But don't you find that? I know I have found that. You see sparks of this in the most unlikely people. If you put a list on paper of the people in your life, I won't ask you to say it out loud, but who you really trust, or you talk to and you groove with them and they like know exactly what you're saying. You know, they are on the same wavelength in some deep way. It's not the people you would expect. Have you ever noticed that?
Absolutely. Most people get into media because they want to be movie stars. Most people become a preacher because they want to, you know, because they want to be famous and have power. And then you'll find like just the most just normal, unassuming person that has all this great knowledge.
Yes.
Because they already have all the power. They don't need power. And so it's just
they're connected to God's power. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. And it's quite the quest because so many people are lost, and really it's an inside job. They've got to somehow open up the channel to God, and then they'll see everything that's happening, and then God will give them a message and a mission of what they should do. And I don't want to say all churches are bad, because there's a lot of good people in the churches regardless. It's just that the last 120 years, the Rockefeller Foundation, the ecumenical movement, and all of that has really moved into the churches. We see that with all the rainbow flags and all, you know, the famous cathedrals in England now festooned with all the leftists, you know, graffiti and garbage. I mean, it's been captured is my point.
God is gay.
But people can't get turned off by that and say, well, God's dead. No, no. Satan has occupied the so-called temples. But God isn't in the temple. God is inside us.
True. I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I mean, I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's JonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him.
If you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills. Too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here. In lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
To the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening all around the country. A lot of corruption. A lot of, let's just say deep state operatives are being called out today, and it is my honor to do just that. We're learning more, obviously, about Arctic Frost and in the first portion of the show. I almost let an F-bomb slip. That's how fired up I got. But we're going to calm things down a little bit now as we dive into the big scam, which was Joe Biden winning the first election. Obviously, they claimed he won back in 2020. But the worst of it is we're now learning that those close to Joe Biden were actually being paid. And they were given the incentive. If Joe Biden was reelected back into the White House, they were promised $4 million. That's what one aide is talking about now. That includes a base salary of $4 billion. So that includes what, $8 million just for getting a warm body back into the White House? But don't take my word for it. In clip 14, you were going to hear from a gentleman who was apparently a very close aide to Joe Biden. Mike Donilon is the individual who you hear in this video admitting, well, because he asked and now he's under oath, admitting to getting potentially a $4 million bonus if Joe Biden was reelected to the White House. Take a listen.
Were there any circumstances in which you would have received a bonus? It was.
What were those circumstances?
That Joe Biden would have been reelected president of the United States.
What was the bonus of Ben?
I believe it would have been $4 million.
In addition to the $4 million that you were already paid?
Yes.
Huh. Did you hear that? That's $8 million. I wonder who's paying all that money. I'm sure it was a donor of some sort or someone who probably hates this country and wanted to see our demise. No surprise here, folks. No surprise at all. Joining me is probably someone else who's not very surprised. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Chad Prather. He's host of the Chad Prather Show, and he is a great friend of mine, of course, and a great follow over on X. You can follow him at Watch Chad. Chad, welcome to the program. I'm fired up today. So it's an honor to have you on the show. It looks like everyone was getting paid to push Joe Biden back into the White House, to prop him up, make it look like he was a functioning human being, and then get him back in there. $4 million is quite the great bonus, I must say.
It's not bad for a public servant. You and I picked the wrong job. But here's the kicker. So when he admits that there's another $4 million waiting for him if Biden wins the reelection, that's a guarantee. I mean, that's what he called it, a guarantee by a campaign. People need to let that sink in. You can almost hear the champagne bottles clinking in the background of a promise like that. $8 million on the line. All you had to do was help a failing president look alive long enough to cross a finish line. I'm telling you, that's desperation wrapped in a bonus check. That's not public service. That's prize fighting for power. I mean, when you got a paycheck that depends on a candidate's pulse, you'd prop up a corpse if you have to. I mean, I'll write speeches that make – it's ridiculous. Like, I would have made Joe Biden look like Jesus' second coming for $8 million. I mean, this guy's stumbling over sandbags and reading the wrong things on the teleprompter, and all I got to do is make him feel relatable for $8 million? It's Weekend at Bernie's times two, baby.
Well, I think that's what they were doing behind the scenes. I mean, they even gave him that little fake White House or the Oval Office room where they're having him sign these fake – these fake bills and these, and then the executive orders. I mean, it was absolute garbage that they were trying to feed the American people. And, you know, Chad, before you came on, we were listening to some of the testimony that's been given from a lot of his staffers, Joe Biden's staffers, who are like, oh no, he was fine. I maybe saw a couple of little signs here and there, but I mean, he was functioning. He was a warm body. I mean, what the heck comes next after all of this? Because they sat there for 4 years, and I mean, we didn't lie to the American people. We told our audience that he was barely breathing at this point, but the rest of them, I mean, they propped him up every day and made it seem like he was some type of world leader.
Well, they continually pull back the curtain and show us what they're doing behind the scenes, who's pulling the puppet strings. But think about, to your point, what this does to the inner circle. When everybody around the president is financially rewarded only if the illusion holds up. And, you know, who's going to tell the truth in that case? You know, who's going to look the public in the eye and say, you know, this guy's a warm body? Who's going to look at the president and say, sir, it's time to step down? Nobody, because honesty doesn't have a bonus structure. Spin does. Loyalty does. Denial pays better than discernment. So when we're as a country watching Joe Biden fumble through these sentences and forget where he was, the media is going to tell us he's sharp as ever. He's virile. He's competent. You know, Karine Jean-Pierre said, I can barely keep up with the president. It just looks like he was going to, you know, break out and run at some point. That's not just bad journalism. It's financial self-preservation. So people had actual skin in the game, and it's not just a little bit of money, millions of dollars. So we're not, and they said we were the threat to democracy. This is a pyramid scheme of power.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, KJP was one of the main characters behind all of this, pushing it, even calling it cheap fakes when you actually physically saw a video of the president stumbling, the president falling, or unable to remember who he even was. She would say that it was a fake video, and she often did that. And she was grilled about it during her testimony, and she said, well, I mean, maybe some of it was real. I don't really know. It's like, lady, it's very easy to tell if it's a real video or not. You were just intentionally trying to mislead the American people. But, you know, AG Pamponi yesterday, when she was watching all this stuff drop yesterday regarding Arctic Frost and Joe Biden's mental health, and everything was just coming out at once yesterday. She tweeted out that my team has already initiated a review of the Biden administration's reported use of AutoPen for pardons. A lot of these pardons, Chad, were so disgusting. I mean, he pulled, or whoever was operating the AutoPen, pulled individuals off a death row who had committed heinous crimes without even consulting with the victims' families to see if they were okay with all of this. They also freed a CCP, in my beliefs, a CCP spy who was in custody. I mean, he was literally in custody for having over 40,000 child pornographic images on his device, and they commuted his sentence and sent him back over to China. What do you think is going to happen here? Because a lot of this can't be undone.
No, a lot of it can be undone, and I hope something does happen. And I do hope that AG Bondi, who disappoints me consistently, will do something about this that is tangible. You know, this is a bad situation. I think Joe Biden, honestly, probably the only pardon that he had the wherewithal to actually put his stamp of approval on was his son Hunter Biden's. The rest of it, I don't think the guy, you know, this is a guy who didn't know how to tweet. Like, he didn't even know those passwords to his own X account. So there's no way you could tell me that he could commute all of these sentences or let these people off. I mean, we're talking about people on death row to pedophiles, you know, the J6 committee. These are some really bad individuals who lied to the American people. And, you know, they want to call it public service, but when you get to a situation where the public is being served last, that's what happens. You can wave the flag, talk about saving democracy, and pad contracts and pay your, you know, the folks on your inner circle. You can do the auto pin. You can let your aides run the country. This was literally a situation where our country was on autopilot and the captain was dead in the cockpit and nobody wanted to talk about that. So I hope something gets done about this. It's time for some tangible results when it comes to this Department of Justice.
Yeah, and that's what we're all waiting on. Nobody wants to sit back and continue to watch this unravel and go, oh, wow, that's so shocking. Oh, that's so shocking. And then nothing happens. I mean, we're far into this right now. We still haven't seen a single Democrat from the Obama-Biden regime arrested. And I've got a countdown going at this point, so I don't know how much longer we could tolerate this anymore. I mean, I'm just asking for one. They gave us like three little ones, but they had nothing to do with really, I would say, nothing to do with the Biden-Obama regime. And they were the safest ones to go after because, again, they weren't Democrats. They weren't aligned with them from the beginning. So those were easy catches so far. But I want to shift gears a little bit because this won't give you probably a good tackle. But the individual who is responsible for Tina Peters being in prison right now, who is the Secretary of State over in Colorado, Jenna Griswold, is coming out here and she's making some outlandish conspiracy theories of her own, saying that President Trump tried to steal the 2020 election. Now, she's not questioned as to what evidence she has of that, of course, but she's claiming that the president tried to steal the 2020 election, and she says it with a straight face in clip 15. Take a listen.
We have a sitting president trying to undermine democratic norms and attack our institutions on a near daily basis. But I can say with confidence, our elections and our systems have held strong. And as Secretary of State, I've increased their resilience. It is now a felony to access in an unauthorized basis voting equipment. And we've caught someone. Tina Peters, who is now serving 9 years of imprisonment because she tried to mess around with voting equipment in the state of Colorado.
What are you going to do if there are troops on the street at at polling places?
It's unfortunate that we have to plan for these scenarios, but as Secretary Benson of Michigan said, we had already planned for these scenarios in 2020. A lot of the worst case scenarios that you can think of, Democratic secretaries of state have been planning contingencies since 2019 in preparation for the 2020 election. Look, Donald Trump and his allies are more sophisticated. Trump tried to steal the election in 2020 through lies. Didn't work. He then incited the insurrection. It didn't work. Him and his MAGA allies have learned from their failures. But we're more sophisticated also. The American people are ready to go. We need the American people to stay in this fight. This isn't Republican versus Democrat. This is folks who believe in rule of law, in democracy, and our election standing firm against this assault on our nation. I'm staying in this fight. I'll always fight to protect our democracy. That's a large part why I'm running for Attorney General in Colorado.
Yeah, Chad. So she goes and makes these baseless claims that the president was trying to steal the election. He's going to do just that this time around. And it's fear-mongering at best. But, you know, I know a couple of companies that were sued for over $1 billion for making allegations against voting machine companies. And I would say those who also just questioned the fact that they claim that Joe Biden won the elections, that they were shunned as conspiracy theorists, as people who were cooking up lies just to fear-monger to their base. So there's a lot here that I'd like to dive into. Does she face possible civil lawsuits and all of this now that she's, I mean, I know you're not an attorney, but should she face some type of like civil retaliation for going after President Trump and claiming that he tried to steal the 2020 election?
I mean, that seems to be the pattern, right? I mean, isn't that what everybody had to deal with? That's the whole problem. First of all, some people should not be in front of a camera. Jenna Griswold, it's always in the eyes, Brianna. It's always in the eyes. You can see the crazy. But the irony is rich. You got Jenna Griswold, the same woman that conveniently leaked passwords to the voting machines and is going to scramble to cover it up, and now wants to play the moral referee. It's like the arsonist calling the fireman dangerous for carrying a hose. What Tina Peters did was expose vulnerabilities. What Jenna did was create them. And that's the problem in this country right now. You got the truth tellers that get raided while the bureaucrats that mishandle the people's trust get booked deals in primetime interviews like this one. So if you're genuinely concerned about election integrity, you don't silence the whistleblowers, you fix the system. But that's not what this administration or any administration ever seems to do. They criminalize the dissent. They call patriotism interference. They turn every act of accountability into a dang felony. So if we're handing out orange jumpsuits for messing around with election equipment, maybe Jenna should take a long look in the mirror with her crazy eyes before she starts pointing fingers. Because the American people aren't blind to this. We're pissed off and we're sick of it. They can see who's protecting the truth and who's trying to bury it under political theater. And that's all this is.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because Tina Peters, I know a lot of people are advocating for President Trump to pardon her, but they can't because she's charged on a state level. And so I'd like to see the administration to try to pull funding from them, because what they've done to Tina Peters is absolutely egregious. And she tried her very best to blow the whistle on the internal corruption that she was witnessing during her time, obviously, running the Colorado elections. And they tried to, again, discredit her by going after her and charging her and now putting her in prison for over 9 years, I believe it is. And
9 years?
Yeah, she's a sick woman. I mean, like, not like a sick woman in that sense, but her health isn't the best. She's a patriot. Her son was obviously served in the military, passed away. He died. He's their Gold Star family. I mean, this is insane that we've done this much to her. There needs to be more of a push. And I just think Griswold belongs in prison at this point. But let's shift gears a little bit. Yep. Since you've got an eye for crazy. I wanted to talk to you about this one before we head on out. You've been sounding off regarding those who are taking to Twitter, taking to X, taking to TikTok, because they're fired up. They're really angry, Chad, about their food stamps getting cut off, and they're making threats. Take a listen to clip 16, because all the crazies are getting ready to become criminals or to continue their criminal behavior, whatever it is. Take a listen.
And baby, y'all out here playing. Little do y'all know, we is in a real life mother recession. We are going through a struggle around here. Like, nobody is not understanding that. It's not clicking in nobody. Trump trying to talk about the food stamp, and I don't know what you bitches gonna do, because you bitches have kids.
A lot of people ain't gonna keep it real, but a lot of our parents got stamps. My mom has 7 kids, so she got stamps or whatever, and I didn't see her selling them. She did the best she could with what she had, and we always had food. So when I got stamps, I'm like, okay, it's okay to get them or whatever, but I did live in fear of if I work a job or anything like that, I'm gonna lose my food stamps.
Why the fuck I just seen some that said Walmart gonna be closed, all we could do is curbside? We don't give a bitch. Walmart not the only grocery store, you dumb assholes. Still looting, still stealing. Trump. It's crazy.
So y'all, I'm just thinking. I gotta come up with a master plan. They didn't cut my food stamps. I'm down to my last pack of noodles and 2 bars of soap. Something gotta shake. I'm just trying to see when we going to get the groceries. I'm thinking tomorrow a good day. We can start tomorrow. I got a route for this. We gonna start that bitch off in New Temple. We gonna run that bitch through Wesley Chapel. Swing that bitch down, Bruce B. Down. We gonna gas up in the city. We ain't gonna f*** with the city, because if we f*** with the city, them hoes gonna be ready to die out there. So we gonna leave them alone.
And as someone who has never been approved for food stamps, I'm not gonna lie, I'm actually happy for this food stamps cut. And it's not for the reasons that you think. It's not because I'm like a hater and I'm upset that people are getting like free stuff. No. I just can't wait for the looting. Yeah. Cause as someone who is not on food stamps and you have to constantly pay for these expensive groceries, I'm tired. I'm sick of it. Like, I just can't wait for the looting.
Nobody is abusing food stamps. You can't abuse food stamps. That's like stealing from Darth Vader. Nobody cares.
They're taking away food stamps because they want people to commit crimes.
They're not hiring people. They're not giving people jobs because they want them to join the military and the police force. They're using Bad Bunny as a headliner for the Super Bowl to mass arrest Hispanic people, citizens or not. The government is shut down so that you don't hold them accountable. Hope this helps.
That helped you, because I, for one, didn't understand. I love this video, Chad, by the way, of Alex Jones. And this is going to be you once these EBTs get cut off, just relaxing, chilling out. Yeah, I mean, if you shop at Walmart for your groceries, there's probably going to be less obese individuals wearing tank tops. And, I mean, it looks like sports bras sometimes on them. So that's the one good thing about all of this. But, you know, they're threatening violence. They're threatening to go out there and start robbing these supermarkets. I mean, what the heck's going on here, Chad?
Well, I've caught a lot of hell for it. I keep laughing at it. Nobody misses nail or weave day, on these things. You can't get that on food stamps, but somehow they're making sure that those are done. You know, here's the thing. People come at me because they say, well, aren't you a Christian? You know, don't you want to love your neighbor? Listen, what we've done is we've traded personal responsibility for a political pity party and call that loving your neighbor. Nobody's laughing at people who are struggling. We're laughing at the system that profits off keeping people that way. We've built an economy where people are told to stay poor, stay quiet, vote blue if they want their benefits to keep coming. That's not compassion. That's absolute control. So the same government that can't balance the checkbooks writing the spiritual checks in Jesus' name, and people are cashing them at the window of entitlement, and then someone says, hey, maybe freedom's a better long-term plan than food stamps, and suddenly I'm the bad guy. So let me remind you, Jesus said feed the hungry, not fund the bureaucracy that keeps them hungry. We didn't hand out a permanent disability card and said, see you next election cycle. So these people wanting to threaten their violence and all this stuff. Listen, what about our service members? Well, service members rely on these programs, don't they? Well, you're right, and that's the bigger scandal. We spend billions on foreign wars and gender studies in Pakistan, but can't make sure our veterans can afford groceries without government coupons. I mean, don't aim the outrage at me. Aim it at the clowns in Washington who made the warriors beg for bread, and that's on the Democrats, if you ask me, and that's also in their voting records. So the moral high ground isn't mocking the poor. It's demanding a system that lifts them up instead of chaining them to welfare checks. And that's exactly what these people are bitching about. So, again, real love isn't measured in how long we can keep people dependent. It's measured in how far we can help them rise. And that's up to personal responsibility and not up to the government to be my compassion plan. So I'm not apologizing for saying the quiet parts out loud, man. And I'm going to mock these people and ridicule them because they just made a video and said they're coming for my stuff. Well, good luck with that.
Good luck with that. Yeah, they're not coming for my stuff. Good luck with that. I've got attack Pomeranians that will bite your ankles if you come for my things.
So you better... I've seen them.
They're vicious. They're vicious, those dogs. Chad Prather, thank you for joining us again, folks. He's the host of the Chad Prather Show. And give him a follow over on X at Watch Chad. Chad, you do a great job every day, so we appreciate you joining us. Thank you, as always, my friend.
Thanks, Brianna.
All right, folks, let's keep digging into the shutdown, because the shutdown's got a lot of people fired up. A judge yesterday, of course, it's a federal judge in San Francisco, says President Trump can't fire government employees. They're saying the thousands of federal employees that he's potentially going to be dismissing, he can't do it. Now, obviously, as you guys know, the federal courts, the judges, the liberal judges, they obviously outrank the president of the United States. No, they don't. Obviously, it's going to get challenged, tossed out. But, of course, this is what they're doing. The ruling is, again, meant to stop the president from using these government shutdowns to downsize the federal government. Why not? Democrats don't want to come to the table and reopen the government. You might as well get rid of all of these government employees because, newsflash, a lot of them are Dems themselves. They continue to vote for these policies. You voted for these scumbags, lose your job. I like it. I think it's a great policy. I could support it as we approach day 28, as we are in day 28, I should say, of the shutdown. Now, again, I don't really notice much, but if you're somebody who's a government employee, if you're somebody who serves in our military, then yeah, you probably notice a little bit of an issue here with your paychecks. I'm all for paying our military at this point. We should be able to shuffle around some things and make sure to do that. I'm also for paying our ICE agents as well, those who are fighting to keep the homeland secure, everyone else. Blame your Dems. It all falls on them. But when it comes to the food stamps that are being pulled as well, California and other state AGs, they're not very happy about it. In fact, they've just filed a lawsuit as of yesterday to go after the USDA for cutting those fundings. Now, apparently they're saying that there's some type of emergency funds that could be utilized for this to prevent this from happening. But the USDA is not doing just that. Take a listen to clip 6, because this is Brooke Rollins, who's obviously in charge of the USDA, sounding off on the issue.
USDA does not have the $9.2 billion that it would require. There's not just pots of $9.2 billion sitting around. And what's particularly rich about New York saying that, or California, or any of these other blue states that have filed the lawsuit that say, oh no, we're going to go, you guys, USDA, go find the money, is it's their very friends, partners, colleagues, Democrat elected officials that continue to vote over and over again to keep the government closed. Again, shame on them. I cannot begin to understand what they're thinking. Even their own union, right? Even their own federal government employee union, I don't know the exact name, is urging their own Democratic leaders to open the government back up. Listen, Chuck Schumer's getting paid. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is getting paid, but our air traffic controllers not getting paid. Our food stamp recipients are not going to get their benefit beginning Saturday. Our law enforcement, those that are keeping us safe, not getting paid. It's just, it's unbelievable. And I've never seen anything like this. It's surely they're going to change their mind and vote to open any day now.
Well, one would hope. There's many who are predicting that this is going to last through November because Democrats, again, are holding the line to make sure that their illegal aliens get some type of health insurance. Things are getting really bad. We're going to toss it over to a break in a little bit, but when we come back, I'm going to play Jake Tapper, even defending the common sense angle to all of this and preventing Democrats from using this moment to attack Republicans. Again, I mean, I don't think either side is great. Okay. But the reality of it is there's only one side that still will not come to the middle, come to these logical standpoints and sign off on spending that does not include illegal aliens. And that side's Democrats. And it's very obvious. And when you ask Democrats, well, what are you still holding out for? They can't tell you what they're still holding out for because they don't want you to know that it's illegal aliens. Yeah, they keep saying we believe in healthcare for all people. People? What kind of people? Can't tell you that, though, of course. Folks, we've got a lot happening in the next hour of the show, so do not go anywhere. I've got an arsenal of fraud and corruption to expose in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. If you haven't done so already, download the app. Stay in touch with us because you never know when those front doors are going to lock. This is how we stay in touch. So head on over, download the app if you haven't done so already. When you do just that, we're going to give you a gift, 20% off to use over at thealexjonesstore.com. You could use that promo code. It's an exclusive. Of course, when you download the app, you can use that promo code over at the shop to grab some of your favorite items. And yesterday we announced the launch of Methylene Red. But for someone who's looking to get on the tip-top shape when it comes to brain health, this is what you're going to want to snag over at the store. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com to grab yourself some Methylene Red right now. With perfect pair up with the blue, of course. And this is a must-have. So do just that. I'll be right back with more corruption to expose.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well. Excited that you're joining us today. A lot we're diving into. In case you missed the first hour of the show, I got a little crazy. There's a lot of corruption going on that's being exposed. I don't know if it's going to lead to any criminal charges, but I'm fired up because it's like enough is enough for me. Enough is enough. I've seen it all. Been talking about this for 4 years now, 5 years now. It's exhausting. It is. But we're learning more and more about all of it. You know, yesterday we reported here on InfoWars that Alex Jones was even brought into the Arctic Frost investigation somehow, some way, due to a civil matter. His, what appears to be his phone records were turned over to Arctic Frost. I don't know why. It looks like it maybe was an email. We're going to get some clarification on that. I will. Because I've got a lot of digging I wanted to do on that front. I don't know what they were looking for. Why would they want Alex Jones's phone records? You see, they did this actually under Barack Obama. Remember him? Barack Obama, when he wanted to find out who the sources were behind journalists, he actually did obtain, and I don't even think he didn't have a warrant for it, but he did obtain their phone records. Catherine Heritage and others were wrapped up into that. So Barack Obama making sure to make sure that was a priority because he wanted to see who was calling these journalists to tell them about all of the corruption that was happening behind the scenes. They didn't like that, of course. Because they wanted to pretend like everything was A-okay. No issues here. So maybe it was that. What information did Special Prosecutor Jack Smith want to know about Alex and who his sources were? I mean, that's what it appears to be. Of course, we don't know certainty yet, but how did Alex Jones make that list? Well, we'll find out. Not just Alex Jones, though. It's even Harmeet Dhillon. Her law group was listed in all of this. Obviously, we told you weeks ago about Charlie Kirk's turning point was listed in this as well. But we know more people are popping up into this. And it's all the people who were involved in the other special prosecutions that were going on all around the country. Steve Bannon being wrapped up into this. Mark Meadows, Scott Perry, Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark, John Eastman, and potential other targets. Bernard Carrick, who obviously is no longer... sadly lost his life. He was wrapped up into all of this. He was someone who was working with Giuliani during the election challenge. Oh, and that's what I was telling you guys about Barack Obama. Yeah, he went after the AP too. Isn't it crazy how these so-called journalists were targeted by Barack Hussein Obama and they didn't speak out on that issue? Only Catherine Heritage was the one who, sorry, not Catherine Heritage, I apologize. Cheryl Atkinson. Wasn't Catherine Heritage. Cheryl Atkinson was the only one who actually went out there fighting. She still has a lawsuit pending, actually. And they didn't like it when she was going swinging at Obama because, well, she uncovered a lot. She exposed the ATF. And they allegedly tried to plant child pornography on her husband's electronic devices. Now, she, thanks to a source, was able to get a heads up on all of that. I spoke to her exclusively. We sat down. We talked about it on my podcast. But interesting enough, folks... She still has a lawsuit pending, and her source during that lawsuit, who was supposed to come and testify, was deceased, died. There's a new breaking news report that just dropped just seconds ago as you saw me grab my phone. According to this new report, the U.S. economy may lose up to $14 billion if the government continues to shut down. That's according to CBO. Again, this is the fear-mongering campaign that's being used right now. But again, this is what they're saying. They're saying that this is the possible ramifications for all of this. That is the, by the way, the Congressional Budget Office making that announcement. So a lot happening today that will keep bringing you the breaking news and all the exclusive breakdowns as to what's going on behind the scenes right now while we dig into this corruption. I was busy yesterday jumping on calls, trying to understand what's going on behind the scenes, but we'll continue to drop those little snippets throughout today's and later today I'll be actually joining Alex over on his show over at the Alex Jones show as well. So a lot happening here over the next 4 to 5 hours. So stay put. Don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more to discuss. In the meantime, though, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Download the app if you haven't done so already. It is a great way to stay in touch with us. As many of you guys know, they are very aggressively trying to shut down InfoWars. And in case they do get their way, we are ready to launch the next option, of course, to continue to bring you all of this breaking news. So head on over to the store, download the app, both on Android and over on the Apple Store as well. We got more to dive into. Don't go anywhere.
Methylene Red is the ultimate complement to Methylene Blue. It's like Batman and Robin, right? This is Robin. Okay, I just took this, and I only took three droppers full. And I feel like calm energy, if that makes sense. I feel like if I want to go think about something or go deep into something, I can do that right now. It's like a sour warhead, and it's like, oh my God. And then I'm like, oh wow, okay, I actually feel it. Same way you feel Methylene Blue, you feel this. So
look at this, look at this.
Here's your normal Methylene Blue, right? Look at Methylene Red. Dude, that's a freaking tank. If you're taking this, you really need this. It's like, you know how Big Pharma always tells you, hey, if you get, you know, this SSRI, you're gonna need this to go with it. Well, this is the natural, more natural way to do it. You got Methylene Blue and you got Methylene Red. These complement each other and you need both of them. Go to the alexjonesstore.com today and get yours. And I think right now it's 50% off if you subscribe.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on. The first hour, I was very fired up, and I'm still fired up. I started my day by chugging a sugar-free Red Bull, and I think that plays into it a bit. You see, yesterday was quite the eventful afternoon when we, you know, turned everything over to the Alex Jones show. My phone was blowing up, and it was blowing up because there was a lot of people who were getting ready to drop some very important documents regarding to Arctic Frost. Now, we highlighted some of that in the beginning of the show, and I'm going to be joining Alex later on his show to detail how, well, the regime was strangely going after Alex, too. There was an individual who appears to be involved in a civil lawsuit who may have turned over Alex Jones's phone records to the special prosecutor, Jack Smith. Now, again, we don't know much on that front. That is my opinion. And I'm still digging into that, and I look forward to continuing to do that. There's a lot more that we need to learn about what they were looking to do. And I told you guys this, you know, we studied this before. We've reported this. The Obama regime targeted journalists. And they did it, obviously, by non-legal means, and they did this intentionally. Of course, they wanted to know who their sources were behind stories. So maybe Alex was working on a hot story, and somebody wanted to know who his source was behind it. But we're going to find out more, and I look forward to doing just that. But I want to go back to the shutdowns, because before we went to break, you know, I made you a promise. We were going to play a clip 7, of Jake Tapper actually defending Democrats, but that's Republicans. But that's what it seems. It seems like Jake Tapper was actually defending Republicans because, well, he can't really defend Democrats at this point in the game. Take a listen.
The Democratic senators from New Mexico, your home state, vote to open the government so that these SNAP funds are not at risk?
Let me be clear. The administration is choosing to starve American children with money that they already have appropriated. This is a choice by the White House.
This is also a choice by Senate Democrats to open the government. Yes, it is. I understand why they're doing it. They're doing it because they want Medicaid funds restored. They're doing it because they want Obamacare premiums to be extended past the end of the year. I understand the reasoning.
Let me just be clear. The money for contingency plans is sitting there. That is why the states are suing. The White House is withholding funds from
children.
2 to 3 weeks
worth
to
of SNAP
food.
Funds. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it may not be a big deal to you, but literally are feeding their children.
My point is that it's a short-term solution.
Those accounts.
It's a short-term.
At the end of the day, people need to be able to feed their families, and Saturday is when those funds run out.
If you feel so strongly,
Congresswoman,
why not ask the Senate Democrats from New Mexico to vote to open the government so that the SNAP funds...
Sir, I am here in the House of Representatives. It is shut down. I am fighting to get the government reopened. I am fighting to get funding put back into SNAP that is already existent, and I am fighting for the American people. I am here. But show me a single Republican that is here. Not a single one is here to make sure that Americans are fed on Saturday. That is why I am here.
All right, just to highlight the fact that House Republicans passed it. It's now waiting on the Senate. The Senate Democrats have not voted to pass it. And so while she sits there and she plays stupid, it's so bad that Jake Tapper's like, I can't even defend you, lady. I can't defend you. Like, throw me a bone. I'm trying to tell you that I understand what you're saying, but I don't understand your argument here, because your argument is based off of a false lie. Oh, grandparents can't feed their kid. Get out of here, lady. There's 42 million people on food stamps right now. That's not all of them. And like we showed you with Chad Prather, a lot of these people are functioning. Even one saying, I'm afraid to work because what if they pull my food stamps? You see, this is the problem. This has been what Democrats have wanted to do for a very long time right now. They have tried their very best to get Americans addicted to food stamps because they can't be self-sufficient. They need to rely on the government. And that is how these communists continue to get elected into these positions. This is a great moment to purge people from food stamps, people who are not disabled and are capable of working. Yes, if you have children and you're a single mother, absolutely, we should help you. Absolutely. But there needs to be restrictions. Drug testing is one of the big ones that needs to be pushed forward. You shouldn't be able to get food stamps or any type of benefits if you're able to sit there and smoke weed or other things. The rest of us have to be sober. Why do you get to enjoy whatever it is that you're doing, get high, get paid at our expense through food stamps? I would also argue the simple fact that there are so many people just popping out kids who I don't think are qualified to be parents, but they're popping out kids because, well, it pays more. It ups their SNAP benefits. You see, if we crunch down and we force people who are on SNAP benefits to only get certain things, right? Because I was listening to some woman, and it's just enraging, talk about how she's just trying to get some steak and lobster for her family. Her son needs to eat. She eats like a grown man, so does her son. So if she's not getting her steak and lobster, she's going to start robbing places. And these are the people who are on these programs. They're leeches to the system. It's not just the grandparent trying to raise their grandkids. It's not just the single mother. They always play into that narrative. It's like when they make the abortion argument. They want to go with the, well, it was, what if it was rape argument to validate their stance on abortion, knowing that it's like 1% the abortions take place in this country. This is what they do. They go with that and they try to pull at the emotional strings. They don't have a factually based argument. You see, things are getting really bad for Democrats when Jake Tapper is over here and he is forced to defend them. The rest of us are just sitting back wondering, well, we're good. We're functioning people who actually have jobs. If you're on SNAP benefits, yes, we should help out those Americans who do need it. But what's the line here? When does it become abuse? And I'm sitting here listening to Republicans arguing about SNAP benefits, and I'm exhausted. So-called conservatives are like, oh, well, Americans aren't going to be able to feed their kids because we're pulling SNAP. We have no funding for SNAP. I mean, come on, guys. Come on. Let's talk about the charities all around this country who should be stepping up to the plate. Those who have benefited from nonprofit status in this country, let's see if they step up to the plate. They had no problem giving illegal aliens food to feed their families. This is their calling. The NGOs that are so-called Christian Catholic organizations, this is their calling. They had no problem leading the invasion into this country and helping people get in. And they obviously have the funding of George Soros. So let's put that money to some good use. And I'm so tired of this, you know. And I used to just kind of be very liberal on the topic of food stamps. I used to be, oh, well, there's a lot of people who just can't afford it. But when you watch all these videos of people who are posting them online of how disgusting they are when it comes to this issue, they're eating steaks. I'm watching some woman pull short ribs when I was on The Blaze. Yesterday I was on Sarah Gonzalez's show. She's got this clip of this woman pulling short ribs out of her bag that she stole. You gotta be kidding me. Short ribs? You could afford those? Oh, at my expense, you could afford those. Or if you can't afford those, you just steal them. Because society owes you a lot, lady, right? And if you watch these videos too, all of these people are overweight. So they're eating good on our dime. The rest of us, who could barely afford to buy a New York strip. Ah, this is the lady. You guys are the best. Thank you. This is the lady who pulls out short ribs. And she claims in this video that she's outraged because everything's so expensive. She has her nails done. Matt, great point here. She's got her hair did. These are the top priorities. Oh, yeah, she needs all of this. She needs all of this. The best is the short rib. She doesn't have just one short rib that she stole. And she's just showing you openly. Because if you try to arrest her or charge her with a crime, oh, there are the short ribs. Oh, girl, she's eating good. I can't with those ghetto nails. I can't. I'm just so tired of these people who continue to go out there and pretend like they are the victims in all of this. Get a job.
Do you think she got her bag, her purse on welfare?
Probably.
Is that real or fake?
I don't know. She had to put it up again. Let's see. It's probably fake. And I think she has a teardrop tattooed on her face, which probably means I probably should stop running my mouth about her. That could mean that she might have killed someone. If it is a teardrop, I can't tell from the distance. These people are out of their minds, though. It's just so frustrating that these are the people that we've been funding for this long. The sense of entitlement is crazy. Nails, overweight, hair done, everything. Living good off of your dollar, of course. The sense of entitlement is real in this country. And obviously she has a ton of tattoos, all in questionable areas, but she could afford that. She could afford that.
Those aren't going to hold her back from getting a good job, though.
No, it's the welfare benefits, Matt, that are going to hold her back from getting a good job. She needs to keep it going. Got to keep rolling in it. Or if they ever file criminal charges for stealing what looks like about $50 worth of food plus.
Well, she is famous.
Yes, yes. The rest of us are the peasants who have to slave away all day. That is true. Let's turn over to something else. Let's talk about the changes happening over at ICE, because we reported yesterday that Bill Mnuchin was reporting that there were a bunch of changes being made over at the ICE field offices. A lot of these individuals who were leading the offices were being tossed out, changed up, given different positions. And apparently there's been some beef between DHS, ICE. I've even heard about Customs and Border Patrol. It's like a little bit of a gray area based on what their roles are, what they think they should be doing, and a lot of, you know, just internal feuding. But about a half a dozen, I believe it was, offices have had seen some changes. And it's been quite the interesting look to sit back and watch. Because, again, I mean, ICE is working hard, of course, and I'm sure there's a lot of frustration given that they're a lot of these agents aren't being paid right now. But, folks, Tom Homan is sounding off, and he's not too – he's doing his very best. He's doing his very best to address how ICE, DHS are going to have to work together to ramp up all of these deportations. Take a listen to clip 8, because Homan, who we dearly, dearly do love and appreciate, is sounding off, and he is very excited for what Stephen Miller's working on. Take a listen.
I think we're not going to be slowed down by any, you know, any story about changes in leadership. I can tell you that Trump administration is dedicated to achieving a record deportation, vast majority being criminal aliens, making this country safer every day. But as far as personnel changes, that's under the purview of the Secretary of Homeland Security. I'm at the White House and work with people like Stephen Miller, one of the most brilliant people I've ever met, to accomplish strategic policies and plans. How to get success, right. How to maintain success, and how to get the numbers even higher.
And obviously, this is a very big issue, and we look forward to them fixing up things. Obviously, mass deportations are a top priority right now. I've told you before, guys, I have been asking Republicans to expand the courts because deportations need to go through the courts. That is how things are working right now. And you need more judges. You need more courtrooms. Let's start, you know, like how the Halloween stores pop up everywhere on these vacant store lots. Let's just start like putting up immigration courts everywhere. That's what you could do. All the JCPenney's that are going out of business, all of these retailers that are going into business, just start popping up immigration courts. You don't need much. That is how you get these people deported. That is how we carry on with the commitment of getting them out of here. Democrats intentionally invaded this country with millions and millions of illegal aliens in hopes that we would not deport them. And so we need to expand our efforts. Trisha McLaughlin is one of my favorites over at DHS these days. She is an incredible spokeswoman for DHS. She's doing an incredible job. Clip 9 is going to highlight some of her public safety concerns that she has right now in regards to the illegals who have come into this country, but most importantly, those who have obtained CDLs. Take a listen.
It's not just dumb, it is deadly. As you mentioned, just last week out of California, we had an Indian national who entered the country in 2022. He was released by the Biden administration, and then he was given a work authorization by the Biden administration, and the California Department of Transportation gave this individual a CDL to operate a big rig. You'll remember that Sanctuary City, because of these politicians and because of their policies, the state of California doesn't actually ask those who are getting these CDLs or these big rig licenses what their immigration status is. So we're seeing this time and time again. We also just saw this a couple of weeks ago out of Florida, again, that being a California-issued CDL. It's incredibly disturbing. And what Secretary Sean Duffy and Secretary Noem are doing is partnering to make sure we're getting a hold of who actually has these CDLs and to check their actual legal status.
Yeah, that's really important. It's also important to note that a lot of these trucking companies in California, I've found a couple of them, and thanks to a tip that came in, of course, a lot of them are Indian-owned as well. So maybe that's an incentive to help these people lie when trying to obtain their licenses, of course. But again, I mean, this one was gut-wrenching. I believe it was three people killed in this. And again, you can't tell me this is just a recent issue. This has had to been happening prior to the prior regime. I just have a feeling that they were not disclosing their immigration status in this country. There'd probably be a lot of digging that needs to be done on that issue. And again, we're going to keep looking for that because I have a strong feeling that although over the last few weeks, we've seen about three or four of these foreigners obtaining CDL licenses and then somehow, some way crashing. It's a failure. That individual you saw, by the way, is accused of being under the influence when he was driving that semi. I bet you there was way more illegal aliens, invaders, who caused these wrecks. So again, just more to look into. I mean, it's going to take us years to sift through all of this and to figure out all of the damage that was done under the Biden regime. But why is California doing this anyway? I mean, obviously, they don't care. They don't care. They'd rather these illegal invaders who get access to licenses to help them live in this country. And when he talked to them specifically too, there was this one local news story that we actually shared on this program where one of them who comes from India got his license pulled and he's upset because he can't send his family back the money that he was making from this job. So think about all the money that we've lost in this country because they were just sending it back to India on top of all the scammers, of course. So just more corruption, obviously, that we have to keep digging into. Let's turn to something else. Grokpedia. That's Elon Musk's new Wikipedia kind of thing. He is trying to replace it, obviously, because Wikipedia is edited by people who a lot of the times are left-leaning. And if they don't like you, you are a conservative, they will go out there and put up a lot of false information about you. So Elon Musk is responding to that by making his own Grokpedia. And it launched on Monday as an alternative. Elon Musk's version is backed by XAI, but still uses Wikipedia as a source on some subjects. That's according to reports. According to Grok, this new beta site provides balanced coverage on topics like George Floyd and Gamergate. Interesting. I mean, I love a little competition. You know, Wikipedia obviously is very, very biased. There was a great interview by the founder of Wikipedia. I believe it was him and Tucker Carlson that I had the privilege of watching. And he outlined some of his concerns about it. Now, he doesn't have any control over the company anymore, from my understanding. And so they have turned into a left-leaning and a very biased platform. All right, let's turn to something else. Israel-Gaza. Now, again, when we reported about the phase one of the peace agreement, I told you
that this probably wasn't going to be everlasting peace before we went into our obvious report on it. But let's go over the reports that are being reported by the mainstream media right now. Here's the breakdown right now. So the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, apparently ordered forceful strikes on Gaza. Now, dozens have been killed. Now, Israel is claiming, of course, that this is due to the fact that they're claiming Hamas violated the ceasefire agreement. Another claim, Israel claims that Hamas violated the ceasefire agreement, returning the remains. That doesn't mean to make any sense. I'll pass through that. But yeah, they're claiming that they violated the peace agreement, ultimately. And that's the reason why Hamas has led these attacks. Dozens have been killed, according to one of the reports so far. We're still waiting on a final number, but President Trump in clip 13 is weighing in on these attacks. Take a listen.
You have to understand, Hamas is a very small part of peace in the Middle East, and they have to behave. They're on the rough side, but they said they would be good, and if they're good, they're going to be happy, and if they're not good, they're going to be terminated.
And just to clarify, over 100 individuals are saying were killed in Gaza due to these latest strikes. Now, this is all due to some drone footage, it looks like, of Hamas digging up what could have been remains. Again, guys, like either side of this, the reporting on it, it's a struggle for me to believe at this point. So I'll just put out what the mainstream media is telling you and let you all decide. But again, this looks like to be the drone footage of that. Again, I know Matt's been on this. Matt, if you want to weigh in on this. Looks like we're looking at the drone footage here, though, as you can see on your screen.
Yeah, this was a story that saw some coverage yesterday. The relatives of Ophir have stated that, you know, it's a tragedy to have to bury your loved one in different pieces, right? And having to bury someone multiple times. Netanyahu had caught wind of this, and it was reported that that's why he called for strikes.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I would like to see the peace deal be worked out. I'd like to see more peace. Sadly, there's more bloodshed. I think this is going to be going on for hundreds of years past our time. So we'll leave it at that for now. Matt, thanks for the update. We appreciate that, folks. A lot going on, though. It's just so sad. And I really, truly hope that President Trump can bring peace to the region. But this is a war that I think is going to be going on for a very long time. I want to continue to remind you guys all at home right now. If you haven't done so already, head on over to it's alexjonesapp.com. I always add the there, but it's not there. It's just the alexjonesapp.com. Keep doing it. So head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. When you do just that, you're going to get an exclusive 20% off promo code that you could use over at the alexjonesstore.com. And there's a lot to go snag over at the shop these days. We just brought in yesterday methylene red. Now, if you pair that up with your methylene blue, you're going to have some incredible results when it comes to your brain health. And of course, folks, this isn't some weak, watered-down multivitamin. This is something that is a clinically grade product that is going to help boost your mental health and help improve your cognitive abilities. Probably should have gifted this to Joe Biden about 4 years ago. So we're a little late to that one. But if you don't want to be Joe Biden, head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. Every time you make a purchase, it helps keep us up and running. We greatly appreciate it when you do just that. So folks, we've got a lot more to unpack. I've got a whole bunch of great sound bites that I want to dive into when we come back from the break. Most importantly, I'm going to have Mel Kay joining us in the next hour. And I'm also going to be taking your calls. So give me a ring. That's going to be in about 30 minutes. So give me a call, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. I say that really fast. So it's 877-789-2539. Give me a call. We only want to talk about topics we talked about on the show so far, news topics. Keep it relevant. Those are the calls we're going to prioritize. A lot of you do ring in, and I want to get to everyone. Give me a call. A lot more to discuss in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Hey,
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. A lot happening over here. I just saw some breaking news drop in, and I wanted to bring that to you. Figured, why not? Let's all learn together. It looks like more J6 prosecutors are being told to get on out, which we like to see, of course. This one is interesting. So there's several reporters reporting this. I'm going to pull up my Twitter feed right now because the tweets were flagged for me. Ultimately, it looks like two of them
have been locked out of their devices, their work devices. And they were originally apparently on furlough, it looks like. They were furloughed due to the government shutdown, and they were informed that they were being put on administrative leave when the government reopens. That's according to sources who are talking right now to ABC News. Now, they claim that these two prosecutors are individuals who work J6 cases. And in one of these cases, it looks like on Wednesday, they were put on leave, a legal brief that they drafted apparently and described January 6th attack on the Capitol as being carried out by thousands of people compromising a mob of rioters. So again, this is what's being reported right now. I'm reading through tweet threads. There is a brief article right now up on ABC about this, but there's more coming in. And I'm looking as the reporters are bringing updates. Obviously, these prosecutors, because the DOJ wouldn't leak personnel information, these prosecutors are actually speaking likely to these reporters. That is probably their source behind all of this. And again, a lot of people are going to be fired up about that. I see one reporter saying that that is what took place. So they're accurate. They're claiming it is accurate. But again, it looks like two prosecutors who were working on the J6 stuff have been tossed. So there's that. That's good news. The other good news we're going to talk about is Stephen Miller's wife, Katie Miller. She went on CNN yesterday in clip 10, and she roasted KGP. Now, ultimately, what's happening here, folks, is KGP, obviously, Karine Jean-Pierre, plays the race card quite often, and she also pulls her what her sexual preference card is as well, which is kind of strange. Which is very strange. But ultimately, they are pulling that card. And Katie Miller, she's cool on CNN. Take a listen.
What I think you're seeing and what Karen is attesting to is that she is quite incompetent to do the job, right? This is what Republicans have been saying for years now, is that she is just another evidence that DEI doesn't work, whether that's in the White House in your press secretary role or whether that's a, you know, an air traffic controller, an air pilot, whether that's your doctor. You know, you want to hire the best for the role. Not just based on skin color, Jake. Why did she get the job over John Kirby?
Well, why are we assuming that she is a black LGBT, gay woman is DEI, but a white woman who is behind the podium right now, which DEI initially started as affirmative action, which was about affirmatively hiring women and minorities. Why is one DEI and the other is not?
Why did she get the job over John Kirby? Because as everyone has said this week, she is woefully incompetent.
She had the job long before John Kirby.
I will just say she used to be a commentator on CNN. Then she was one on MSNBC. Mm-hmm. And she was good at that. Like, I mean, I'm without getting into the job I thought she did as press secretary, I thought it didn't seem crazy to me because she was eloquent as a commentator.
Why is she trained every four sentences to say she is a black, queer, LGBTQ woman? Because that's how she's been promoted her entire career.
Anyway, Katie Miller and Karen Finney, thank you so much.
Ooh. Anyway, you got to wrap that one up real quick. You can't keep talking about that. Come on, she was never qualified for it. She was an activist. She was an activist. She jumped on cable news shows, obviously, but she was an activist. And she was unable to talk to the American people. In fact, she lied when it came to Joe Biden's health, looked everyone in the face and said, oh, everything's fine here. Nothing to see here. But there was a lot to see there. There was a lot to see there. All right, let's keep digging into this. We got a couple more headlines that are popping up right now. CNN. So much CNN. I'm sorry. I don't mean to do this to you guys. CNN says that Americans are less worried on the economy than they were last year. In this next clip, clip 11, we're going to play this one for you. Probably got a thing or two to say about that. So take a listen.
Well, you know, Matt was mentioning about the econ playing such an important role in last year's presidential election, the top problem facing the U.S.'s economic per Gallup. Last year, look at this, 43% at this time, 43% of Americans said the top problem was economic. Come to this side of the screen. It's just considerably different. We're talking about 24%. We're talking about a drop of near 20 points. And more than that, we're talking about across all of the different political groups, right? Democrats, independents, Republicans. We see that the percentage who say the top problem is economic has been falling through the floor. And more than that, you know, we're talking about inflation. The percentage of Americans who say that the top problem is inflation has also been falling, which is, I think, very much surprising given all the news that we are hearing about the economy.
It really is surprising. How does this compare to, like, the historical look at how people feel about the economy?
Okay, so, you know, let's talk about, we'll go through history, right? Let's take a look. The top problem facing the United States is economic. In the average midterm election, it's 35%. It's 35%. Look at where we are now. Again, it's 24%. It is lower. Fewer Americans right now are saying the top problem is economic than historically have said that the top problem is economic. So it's not only that the top problem being economic is lower than we were at this time last year. It is lower than we have historically been despite all the news about how the economy is supposedly softening.
Well, yeah. Folks, I think most Americans are more confident with this current administration than the whatever it was running the White House last time. So I think it's fair to say just that. I think it's fair. Now, we haven't seen much. I know they keep saying that inflation's down. I haven't seen much. I'm still paying a ton of money. My price for ground beef just went up. I think I'm paying around like $7 a pound. So there's that. But again, Americans are feeling confident when it comes to just that. Let's talk about, I mean, I know it sounds like a heavy CNN day for me. It's not. I really try to stay away from it, but I tell you what's going on behind the scenes. So let's talk about somebody who was fired by CNN for a second. I want to talk about Don Lemon. Because Don Lemon is going after Megyn Kelly by saying she looks trans. I don't understand this argument. You know, the left, when they want to go after me, they're always like, oh, you look trans. Well, aren't trans women real women? How is it now an insult to look trans? Oh, so you're saying they don't actually look like women. It's in fact the costume, what we've been telling you for quite some time. Well, Don Lemon is coming clean, saying, I think she looks trans when talking about Megyn Kelly. First off, Megyn Kelly, by far, like, if she could sell me any skin product ever, she looks amazing. I don't even know how old Megyn Kelly is or how young Megyn Kelly is. She looks amazing. So for this scumbag to be going after her, come on. Megyn Kelly's 54 years old. That's according to Wikipedia. I don't know any 54-year-old who looks as good as Megyn Kelly does. She could literally sell me any skin product and I will buy it. That's how good Megyn Kelly looks. But of course, Don Lemon, you know, bitter gay man, has to go out there and attack. Also someone who's not getting views these days. In fact, when you look at his YouTube page, he's not getting much. When you look at his Twitter page, his X page, like, this guy gets nothing. He gets no interactions. His podcasts are so bad that he has to go out there and try to take a shot at MAGA ladies, as they refer to them as in the interviews. I wouldn't even say Megyn Kelly is MAGA. He apparently added, looks clockable, referring to a tactless term used to describe a trans person who is not passing or identifiable as a biological gender. Again, I don't even understand what any of that means. It's probably just gay talk. Let's end it on this note. His co-host awkwardly said, I gotta find this clip. Yeah, let's go to the clip. Let's listen to Don Lemon talking crap about our girl, Megyn Kelly. Take a listen.
Is Megyn Kelly chopped?
I don't know what that means. I don't know what is chopped. I've heard it, but I don't know what that means. What does chopped mean?
She's going to get mad at me, dude. I don't know if I want this heat.
What does chopped mean?
Chopped means, like, not hot.
Yeah, she's chopped. I don't know. The whole MAGA look.
It's all the MAGA ladies.
Too much. Look.
Kind of looks like a Barbie doll covered in, like, WD-40.
I think she looks trans.
Let's end on that note.
She looks clockable.
Oh, that's how you know Don Lemon is a fruitcake. He doesn't see an attractive woman, of course, just like so many gay men. In fact, trying to attack Megyn Kelly, and I'm sure Megyn Kelly's not going to really care enough for it. Maybe we should get a little punch in there. But the reality of it is Megyn Kelly is better looking than he'd ever be able to settle for if he was a straight man. In fact, the race-baiting former CNN anchor loves to go out there and attack white people all the time. And if you're wondering why, well, because he loves them. His husband is a white man. And he's just a miserable, miserable person. You know, Don Lemon doing all of these podcasts nowadays because he can't garner an audience of his own has hit a new low. has hit a new low. Attacking Megyn Kelly won't do well for him. Won't do well for him. Megyn Kelly is beautiful. That scumbag over there wishes he could land a woman as good as Megyn Kelly instead. He's scraping the bottom of the barrel and going with men. Ugh. That's Don Lemon for you. What a piece of garbage. I hope Megyn Kelly doesn't even respond to him. She doesn't need to. It would do him a favor because politically he's gone. Nobody cares for him and, he's not getting views anymore. And she's taken over. Her tour, for my friends who were actually just there and the ones in Dallas, the Fort Worth, I think it was this weekend, everyone said she did a great job. All right. I apologize right now for the extra CNN stuff. We're going to go to clip 12. Because apparently this one is also about how CNN's telling their audience. And this is probably why people like Don Lemon are so angry and so upset. But apparently people like Don Lemon are so upset because they can't hide it anymore. CNN is out there saying that the public really does support President Trump, the administration, and their policies. Take a listen.
It hasn't. If anything, it's been helped a little bit. Take a look here. The shift in net popularity versus pre-shutdown. Among the when we're looking at the Republican Party overall, that brand actually up 2 points. That's within the margin of error, but clearly it hasn't dropped. Come over to this side of the screen. Look at the net approval ratings for Republicans in Congress. It's actually up 5 points since pre-shutdown. So what we're seeing here is the Republican brand in Congress has actually improved somewhat compared to where we were pre-shutdown, despite the fact that Republicans control. And that's the math that John Thune and Mike Johnson are looking at is, well, hey, why should we give an electorally speaking when our brand has actually improved a little bit?
Now, we say their position is getting better. With whom?
Yeah, okay, with whom? So I think it's two groups that it's so important to keep an eye on. All right, changing the Republican Congress's net approval rating versus pre-shutdown. It's rallying the base for sure. Look at this, the net approval rating up 12 points versus pre-shutdown. But it's not just with the base. It's also with the middle of the electorate. Look at this, among independents. It's up 8 points as well.
All right, that's not going to sit well with the audience. I'm sure this guy's not going to have a job for much longer. He continues to go on the network and out how the country really feels. And it really does ruin those on the left and their argument. And I'm sure they're not going to like it for much longer. When it turns to some breaking news I just got from Fox, I don't know if it's breaking news. It's more of a shuffle these days. But they did just push this out, so let me bring it to you. According to their source right now, an investigation into the AutoPen scandal, well, apparently it's gaining momentum in Delaware and in Washington, D.C. That's what Fox News is reporting. A source familiar with the situation told Fox News on Wednesday morning, it looks like the investigation has heated up in the recent weeks, and it appears that there's a focus in Delaware as well as Washington, D.C., what probably means that he was signing these things in Delaware. Now, just to remind you, AG Pam Bondi said that her team has reviewed all of this, and, well, they are looking into the AutoPen scandal when it comes to the pardon specifically. So a lot of these pardons might get overturned through all of this. According to Fox, this is all heating up. Obviously, the Republicans are urging the DOJ to void the pardons that were currently made under the last regime here. And Fox News now pushing this update out, claiming that things are heating up in both Delaware and Washington, D.C. So we'll see how that all means. Again, I don't know. I'm not going to oversell you on this. I'm not going to tell you that things are getting good. Things are getting close to being prosecuted these days. We've got a couple of grand juries popping up all over the place. Hopefully that means that those are also popping up. Let me remind you all right now that in about, let's just say, 15 minutes, we'll be taking your calls. I want to talk to you about stories that we've covered so far on this show. So let's keep it to the topics here. Give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. If there's something you want to talk about regarding the stuff we've talked about, I see Dana has a topic too. We will take Dana's call because this one's fascinating and we should talk about that one as well. So, digital IDs, which I am excited about talking about in a little bit. But yeah, if you have a topic, leave it on the topics for now, but this one's good. So we'll take that one. That's the one, the off topic one we'll take right now because I should have put this into the show today, but I didn't. And so I'm glad Dana's calling in to talk about that. But if you haven't done so already, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. We'll talk about it. All right. There's a hurricane heading towards Jamaica. It looks like it's a Category 5 storm, 185 miles per hour. Jamaica has declared a state of emergency. The storm is expected to track towards Cuba. This was from a few hours ago, so this might It's going to be a direct hit for Jamaica. Obviously, that will be devastating. Obviously, they struggle with these things. Jamaica's declared a statewide emergency as millions brace for the prolonged impacts regarding this hurricane as it gears up to take a direct hit. It's also tracking towards Cuba. So it's something else we're going to have our eye on, of course. But again, I mean, it's hurricane season. It's what you could expect. Now, SpaceX opens first Starlink service for Hurricane Melissa victims. Starlink will be offering free internet services for those affected by the storm, including those in Jamaica and the Bahamas, until the end of November. It's its efforts to help aid the communications efforts when it comes to these recoveries. So again, more stories that we're looking at. We're going to keep our eye on that, of course. Going through what we got popping in right now to figure out what we talk about next. We can talk about Amazon. I mean, we told you last week that they were starting to replace what they're going to be replacing over the next few years, a lot of their jobs with AI. Amazon plans to cut approximately 14,000 corporate jobs globally. It could actually go up to 30,000. The layoffs will begin officially very soon. Layoffs in multiple areas, including AWS, Prime Video devices, advertising, HR, operations, and Alexa. Those employees that will be affected by all of this will be notified by a personal email. They will be offered 90 days to seek internal roles when their jobs are cut, and will be provided HR support via video calls. Amazon employs about 1.56 million employees, with roughly 350,000 of those employees getting corporate jobs. Now, again, we told you this. Amazon is leaning on AI, and that is going to be their new replacement for a lot of these key roles. So, again, more is happening behind the scenes on this. And it's of course, is sad. It, of course, is sad. But we'll get to the bottom of all of this, I'm sure. Figure out what exactly they are replacing people with. All right, I'm trying to find these government shutdowns, man. They really do kill the live events. I know often we go back and forth on it. But it's interesting. Oh, guys, I'm going to send you this clip, too, because this one's a great one. We bring back the snap. Let me know if you guys have that and it's a soundbite, because I think that would be a good one to jump into. We talked about, obviously, Chad Prather, those who are getting SNAP benefits. And this is why I'm very careful. I know a lot of people say, oh, it's 42 million Americans are on SNAP. It looks like possibly that these are not, surprise, surprise, Americans. I'll play this clip for you in a little bit. It's an Iraqi refugee who is on SNAP benefits. He's very upset about the potential loss in the funding. Take a listen.
Without the government support, I cannot stay maybe month or 2 months.
Pima County Chairman Rex Scott told News 4 Tucson he's deeply concerned about the impact on local refugees. And
so he can't stay in the United States if we cut his welfare benefits. Wouldn't that be a shame? Wouldn't that be a shame? Actually, and this would be good, if he self-deports, just an idea, we'll pay for his flight. And we'll also throw in a couple of dollars. So if you would like to self-deport to Iraq, yeah, we can do that for you. Here's some cash. Good luck. You see, this is the thing that really fires me up. This level of entitlement, as if we owe them something. We don't owe these people nothing. Nothing. I'm so fed up with hearing people talk about this all the time. You know, it's like I was very liberal, again, on the idea of food stamps. I want to help everyone. I think everyone should have access American-wise. And every American family, I should say that before you guys jump on me. Every American should have access to food if they need to have food, obviously. If they need the help, they need support. Yes, 1,000%. No American child should go hungry in this country. And yes, I do believe that. But it's been abused. I think the shutdown outlines just that. And this should be utilized. This should be the platform moving forward. This is how we should go after people who are abusing our systems. It's all being exposed. Let's take advantage of this. See, this is why those federal judges are stepping in, and they don't want you to be able to squash all of these federal jobs. These federal jobs, for the most part, those that weren't squashed by Doge, they were fake jobs. They were jobs that were used to prop up by the Biden regime so that they could lie on the job report numbers. And so it's all about just getting back to the basics in this country. That's what needs to happen. Yes, we should be pulling benefits from those who do not need it. You are a healthy person who's able to work. Get out there. Get a job. You don't even need to leave your job. You could literally work from your home, make $30 an hour. There are so many jobs, remote jobs online, customer service jobs that you could take on. So everyone has an excuse, but nobody actually has the work ethic to get this stuff done. It's so infuriating. It truly, truly is. Let's turn to the story about those on the left who are dressing up in costume. This one has to do with the Los Angeles woman wearing a Charlie Kirk being assassinated costume to the gym. I guess this is the footage. You notice the consistency here, right? Another overweight. This is probably her first time in the gym. Not even doing a real workout there, of course. Why would you want to stress out on that? I don't know why these people have the guts to do some disgusting, repulsive thing and think we're not going to roast them. It's not even a real workout. It's not even a real workout. Oh my gosh. These people are insufferable. I can't deal with them. I can't deal with them. It's a new trend that the left's doing these days where they're going out there and dress up as Charlie Kirk getting assassinated. They're always, it's a consistency here. Never above a 5. Most of them overweight. Most of them just miserable human beings, probably all perked up on antidepressants. Matt, you got some thoughts on this? What's going on over there?
Yeah, you know, these people are obviously provoking an attack, which I'm sure they're not going to get. But I mean, could you imagine the reaction, how these people would react if someone got in their face about their costume?
Yeah.
You know, actually gave them a bloody nose.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you'd never hear the end of it. It would be a hate crime, right?
It would be.
Despite what they're doing is obviously hateful.
These people are beyond hateful. And this is why these people need to, you know, I was never for like the whole doxing thing or like getting people to lose their jobs. I really wasn't an advocate for any of that. But do you really want people who are this sickening to work with you? I mean, if I ran a corporation now, you should know like who these people are, what they're actually doing behind the scenes. People are gross. Absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Folks, if you want to sound off, join me. Give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I need like a little jingle, maybe a song. I'll work on that. I say it really fast. We probably make it a rap song at this point. But give me a call. I want to talk to you guys about the topics we've discussed thus far. News topics is what we're going to be talking about when we go into the third hour of the program. So we're taking your calls. I know we got a bunch of people calling. And you're all talking about stories that we talked about thus far. A lot of people want to discuss EBT, which we're all on board for. So give me a ring, 877-789-2539. We'll discuss that. Plus, if you haven't done so already, I'm going to keep telling you about it. You got to head on over to alexjonesapp.com. That's alexjonesapp.com. And download the app. We launched the Android version last week. So if you haven't downloaded that, make sure you do just that. You also get a 20% off exclusive promo code to use over at thealexjonesstore.com. And that's going to be an exclusive when you download the app. So head on over. Do just that. Methylene Blue and Methylene Red are all being sold right now over at the Alex Jones store as well. The red we just launched yesterday. If you haven't done so already, make sure you head over to the shop and grab yourself some before we sell out. I'm sure this is going to be a good one. It's over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, don't go anywhere. We have a lot more to discuss in the third hour.
And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turn darker.
And darker.
Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. Last run sold out. but it's now back in stock for only a few days. If you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, Ultimate Life Force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner. You've been on colostrum now 2 months, and we have the very best at theultrashore.com, and I'm serious. So... Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really.
Tell us what happened.
I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months, and a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this is brand new.
Turn darker. Yes, ChatGPT, what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhanced recovery and reduced inflammation. Metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. Get your bovine colostrum back in stock at theellisonstore.com, and it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Ready to kick off the third hour of the show. Excited that you're with us today. A lot happening. You just missed the first hour. It's getting a little mouthy. It's sounding off about Arctic Frost. We've just received more documents regarding just that, and it's got me fired up. It's got me fired up on this Wednesday morning, because obviously, folks, it's just like, I mean, how much more of this are we going to see before we start seeing some criminal charges follow up on all of this? And I've been waiting a very long time for just that, and I know you all have at home as well. So we're learning more about that. I'll go over the overview on that front. Arctic Frost, new document dump from the House Judiciary Committee. So far we know, obviously, that Jack Smith's office was utilizing the FBI field offices to target Americans, including Alex Jones, who it looks like it may have been an email containing Alex Jones's cell phone, according to the subject line that we see there. I'll be doing more digging on that later on this afternoon privately, and I'll bring you the very latest on tomorrow's show. I'll also be on Alex Jones's show today to dig into that with him as well. We'll also be talking about, you know, how this costs American taxpayers about over $16,000 to conduct those 40 interviews that they did over at Arctic Frost. And there's also a bunch of people who are listed as targets. I guess that would make sense. Scott Perry, Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Clark, John Eastman, Steve Bannon, and then other potentials. Ed Martin, who is now running the weaponization division over at the DOJ. He's on the list. Jeff Rosen, Dan Scavino as well. A lot of names on that list. So that's what the interesting part in all of this is. We're learning more and more about that. We'll keep digging into that. I've got a couple calls we'll be jumping on later today to kind of learn as to what a lot of this means. A lot of it was taken out of context. So you just see like these names being floated around, but you don't know exactly what they were looking for. You don't know exactly what was obtained. And I think that's the key point in all of this, because again, why would they want Alex Jones's phone records? Unless there was a story that Alex reported and you wanted to know who the sources were. And it looks to be linked to a civil lawsuit against Alex, one you might be familiar with. So we'll have to do some digging into that. And it's also key to note that although the lawfare was going against Jeff Clark, that's all of the information that has come up in the Arctic Frost investigation proves that they knew from the very beginning that Jeff Clark did not commit any crimes, but he was still a main target. They even raided his home. Get that? And all these people are all linked into the Fulton County RICO case. But really, the real RICO case is these people who are all involved in it, the people at the FBI, the people over at the DOJ, Jack Smith. I mean, they all went around not trying to get subpoenas, warrants, go the legal route. They tried their very best to work with one another to get things that they couldn't legally obtain themselves. And it was a well-orchestrated event to go after the President of the United States. So again, this is what we're hearing. It's enraging, it's infuriating, but I'll be on the Alex Jones show later today to talk about that. We'll be taking those calls in about 90, maybe 2 minutes. again, a lot happening on that front that we look forward to diving into. We'll also be joined in the third hour by Mel Kay. I have a lot of questions for my girl, Mel Kay. Obviously, as many of you guys know, Mel Kay understands it from the globalism perspective, what they're working on, what the deeper meaning to all of this is, always tells us not to just read the headline, but understand what the globalist agenda is to a lot of these stories. So she'll be joining me to sound off in regards to Joe Biden's aides. Joe Biden, his aide, I should say. Sounds a little weird. His aide, who apparently was going to get $4 million if he got Joe Biden reelected to the White House. His base salary, too, was $4 million. $8 million payouts, not bad. Not bad. They don't pay me that much. I probably should go work in politics if I want to make $4 million just right off the cuff. I wonder how they were able to get that money and pay it over to the person. Probably something worth looking into. We'll also be talking about, we got more video of how the Joe Biden staffers were covering up his mental health and his physical health over the years. We now have the testimony video, and we'll be showing you just that in a few moments as well. We're taking your calls. If you haven't done so already, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. We're going to go down the list of callers relevant to the news topics we've discussed thus far. So give me a ring. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all here. Third hour of the show. We're kicking it off right now. Thanks for those who are online right now waiting to get on the show. We appreciate you calling in. I'm going to work my way from the very top on down. News topics, that's what we're covering today, topics we've discussed on this program thus far. Let's start off with a bit of a lighter story. I hear Raymond in Kentucky has a heartwarming story he'd like to share with us. So welcome to the show, Raymond.
Morning. I called yesterday trying to get through to Alex, and I wasn't able to make it through. A caller called in and mentioned that we should flood the local food banks, trying to counteract them, people not having money to eat. I was surprised to find that all the local food banks were stuck to the roof, and they had a three-year waiting list for people to even volunteer to help. Mm. So just some good news that people are already doing good things.
Yeah, well, that's great news, Raymond, and we love to hear that. And that's the reason why, I'm trying to remember, we had somebody on our show last week, and I'm drawing a blank right now, but who ultimately was saying this is the purpose of the food banks and that we should probably be taking people off of the food stamp program and make them go to the food banks to get food. I mean, these food banks are prepared for this. You know, I remember when I was working local news back in Tampa during the pandemic, we covered those families, and it's very sad, but the area that we were focused on, actually, I think it was like 90% of those students who went to the schools, the public schools, 90% of them were on government assistant programs. And so they did need the food from the food banks. And so we cover the stories about the food banks giving out food, but they were well prepared for all of this. I mean, it was very professional, it wasn't humiliating. It was very kind and very sweet. They just gave them shopping bags of food and were just loading them up in the cars. They didn't have to get out of the car. They put it in the back seat of the car, put it in the trunk of the car, and that was it. So yeah, Raymond, I mean, this is great to hear. It's about time that that's the case. I really do appreciate you calling into the show. This is what we waited for. This is what everyone was waiting on. This is the purpose of these charities. It is to help out when in need. And so that's great to hear. Thanks for calling again, Raymond. I know you were on hold yesterday over for Alex, so we appreciate you calling into this show today. So thank you.
No, you're very welcome. I appreciate it. I'm happy to have good news to share.
Yeah, well, we love that. We love that. So thank you. All right, let's turn to Bart in Georgia. Because, Bart, I hear you also want to sound off on the EBT that we've been discussing. What's going on?
Well, first of all, methylene blue, buy it before it's banned. It's so good they want to ban it. But I want to talk about the EBT riots coming up on Saturday. This is an opportunity to flush out a lot of criminals and to remove people. They're caught stealing. They're off EBT. No foreign-born person should be getting EBT, so they need to not edit, but they need to go through the list and see any foreigners that aren't citizens that need to be pulled off the list. And thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that front. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to start the riots on day one of all of this. It's really frustrating, though, because, again, I don't understand why we're even entertaining this. I don't know why we're even allowing this to happen in the first place. I'm hoping the DOJ will step in and make an announcement soon, kind of push back on a lot of it. But, yeah, I mean, this is what we could expect. Bart, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Lester in West Virginia. Welcome to the show, Lester.
Thanks for having me, Brianna.
Thank you. What's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you, I'm an old school broadcaster, and you do not talk too fast.
Thank you, Lester. I appreciate you.
Somebody mentored you that is around my age, and here you are. So anyway, I'm a widow, Brianna, and I'm on food stamps, mm-hmm. Okay? And so, like I was telling your phone-in guy, I don't plan on going out looting and rioting or anything like that. You know, I do radio sales. I do advertising sales. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking about going out picking, dusting off the old DJ gear and getting it back out, maybe going picking up another show or two, because what they're giving me is really not enough to even accumulate anything, $40 a month.
Wow.
That's and I got to feed a teenage kid, and the only reason I humor getting on them is because the Biden regime just jacked the prices up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my story. And so all this nonsense about looting, it just needs to stop. It really does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways to earn money right now. I think the one good thing is there's a lot of, from the pandemic at least, was that there's been so many remote jobs being offered to people. You said you got a teenager. I mean, when I was 14, I had my first job at a pizzeria. So just throwing that out there, too, that could help. I mean, all of it helps. And I got a lot of free pizza, too. That was one of the big perks of working at a pizzeria. But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. And it's sad to see, too, when people actually need the money or they need the food sources that they're not given much. I mean, there was a man who – this was a while back. Maybe I want to say like 2 or 3 months ago. I'm going through my – videos that were popping up on X. One of them was a gentleman who does have a disability and his food stamps got cut. And he's like, I physically can't work. So there's definitely a lot of issues with it too. I just don't, it's sad to see the, and Lester, I mean, I'll let you kind of give us your take on this. When we're watching the videos that are being posted online on TikTok of people who are getting food stamps and getting thousands of dollars. I mean, one woman said that she gets $3,000 a month. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it makes me irate because, once again, I've worked ever since you had to have an FCC card in 1990 mm-hmm. in the radio industry. So, yeah, I've never, like I said, I've never had to go and get food until the Biden regime just got in and inflation just went through the roof. And, but, man, it makes me irate that $3,000?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. She's like, I have got kids. It's kind of crazy.
Okay, like 8? I mean.
Yeah, probably.
Wow. And I get $40 measly a month.
That's
wow.
Crazy. Yeah, well, this is the problem also, Lester. And I think this is what the problem with food stamps is that it's abused. I mean, there's literally people who just reproduce so they get more money from the government. And they're very clear about that. I mean, a lot of these people are getting free health care, free food, free housing. And then we play that clip of that Iraqi man who's apparently a refugee saying that his benefits, if they get pulled, he has to leave the country. I mean, again, this is so insane to me that this is the type of stuff that we're dealing with. I mean, this man looks like he's healthy from appearances just from this video. Looks healthy. Looks like he's capable of working. If he is here on refugee status, I mean, there should be some type of work papers he could possibly get. You shouldn't be sitting on our system at this point. And I'm just so over it, Lester. It's just so frustrating. I used to be very liberal with this idea of food stamps, but these days I've turned into very conservative. Lester, thank you for calling into the show. We appreciate your perspective on all of this as well. So thank you for that. I want to turn to Dana in Nevada right now, because Dana, you're actually talking about something that's really important about the digital ID law that passed in Texas. I was actually looking to get somebody on the show to talk about that. So this is good that you're coming on to talk about that. So thank you.
Absolutely. And Brianna, you're doing a great job. Appreciate everything you do. And been a VIP member ever since the beginning of the program.
Well, thank you. So, that's great to hear.
I'll tell you, I must have been asleep. My phone was blowing up this morning. I've got a lot of folks who just text me all kinds of interesting information. And I looked into it, and I watched Maria Z's X account this morning. And she takes 5 minutes to go through the whole thing. And, of course, we all know where it's going. But Texas Senate Bill 2420, also known as the Texas App Store Accountability Act, was signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott on May 27, 2025. It goes into effect on January 1st, 2026, and requires app stores to verify user ages and obtain parental consent for minors before allowing app downloads or in-app purchases. It's also being looked at in Louisiana and in Utah and at the federal level, Maria Z talks about. We've been following this for a great deal of time. I mean, we know what's happened over in Europe. I mean, there are situations where some of the retail grocery stores, if you don't have their ID, they don't allow you into the store. There's all kinds of crazy things this thing comes up with. But I strongly suggest people take a look at that X account for Maria Z. It's the latest posting, and she explains where this is going and what happened to Australia once they started with this route. They play on the heartstrings of parents to say, hey, you want to protect your kid from downloading the wrong apps or going to the wrong site on the web, and this is the way we're going to do it. And it grows and morphs real fast from there. I'll just tell you some examples. The federal government already has two situations happening. I went in, I tried to look at my Social Security benefits, and I had to go through one different digital ID service of two to basically upload my driver's license, take a picture with my phone, have the system analyze it with AI, basically put all the digital content of my face on a government website just so I could see my Social Security benefits. I went to Home Depot in California to try to rent a piece of equipment, and I have a little black sticker on my camera, on my phone, because I know it's always working. And to rent the piece of equipment and the paperwork, I had to go into an application at Home Depot, take a picture of myself, take a picture of my driver's license. It went through a Home Depot system for facial recognition to allow me to rent the piece of equipment. This is already here. People don't understand it, and it's now becoming law. And if you want to try to do something about it, even though Governor Abbott signed it, you can call the Office of the Governor at 512-463-2000 and tell them what you think about it. I just wanted to bring it to the attention of your viewers, because I think it's a big deal, and I think it's a very slippery slope as it starts here in the United States.
Okay. No, I 1,000% agree with you. You know, the biometrics beat was my beat, especially talking about how the government's taking your biometrics and is lying to the American people. So, Dana, I actually want to kind of bounce off with you on this one. How do we prevent, then, without ID verification, how do we prevent children from getting access to a lot of these apps? I mean, Discord, obviously, is like one of the apps. It's used for gaming, obviously. I know that, but it's being utilized by pedophiles. So there's a lot of apps out there that are being utilized by pedophiles. How do we prevent children from gaining access to all of that and validate their age? Because that's definitely something that I'm interested in from that angle, but I'm 100% on board with you when it comes to digital IDs and how we need to block that as well.
Well, you know, if we were having this discussion 30 years ago, it's called parental control and parental involvement. You know, none of this existed back then, and if a parent is involved in their child's life, they should know what's happening. I've actually met many parents out there that don't give phones to kids until a certain age and kind of watch what they do, and they understand what they do. There are certain capabilities out there. I'm in the business of IT, where parents can kind of view what's happening on a kid's phone if you are going to give them a phone or a tablet or something of that nature. But parents need to get involved. It's a very simple discussion. There's no miraculous answer here. And if they're not, and they let the kids using these kinds of apps and stuff like that to keep them from having to hire a babysitter, well, you're going to have some problems. It is, unfortunately, and I won't mention names, but got a bunch of friends who are parents. And we go to dinner, and they give the kid some sort of a iPad to keep the kid quiet. And all the kid does is just look at the iPad throughout all of dinner so the parents don't have to deal with them. That is nuts. But that's what parents do these days. They don't understand what's happening to the kids. And when you also talk and dig into what's programmed into the software that these developers put in there to track eye movement of your kid, what are they watching, what are they doing, and all of it goes back to an account. Again, I've got a serious IT background, so I know where the data goes, and I understand facial recognition, and it's what happens. But parents don't get involved like they should.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the problem too with having two parents at work a lot as well. I mean, I feel for them, but I also don't understand the iPad thing. Like you were saying, I'm one of seven kids, and when we'd go out to dinner, my parents would give us like a coloring book and that was it. We all had to talk. We had to communicate. Still to this day, there's no phones allowed at the table, and we're all in our 20s and 30s. My parents don't budge on that one. There's no phones allowed. You have to put your phones on the countertop and sit down and eat when we're all in town together. So yeah, there's that. It's so hard to stop these predators from going after children. My advice would be probably the easier one, Dana. Like you said, no phones. I mean, just literally don't give them the phones. I think it's the easiest route for it. It's just such a toxic, toxic mess. Dana, we appreciate you calling, giving us that little snippet on the digital ID law here in Texas, because it's very, very important. Like you said, call the governor's office, but Governor Greg Abbott's been absolutely useless, and it's really enraging. To just sit back and watch. He's a rhino. There's no other way to put it. I know a lot of people believe that he is not working for us and have suggested other people he might be working for who are not Texans. So there's a lot there for sure. But thank you for calling in for that, Ron. We really appreciate it. I want to go to Mike in New York. Mike, you have something you'd like to say? So welcome to the show.
Yo, what's up? This is from a fellow New Yorker to you. I just want to say your accent is spot. It's perfect. And I think that you should even speak more New Yorkish. That's what I think.
I took classes, Michael, to get rid of that accent. But when I say Long Island, you could hear it a little bit.
I want to hear a couple forget about it. You know what I mean? I want to hear you get a little nuts up there. You know what I mean?
You got a boss.
I want to hear some. You got to get some Fugazi going. You know what I mean? Say, hey, that's Fugazi. You know what I mean? And you did the video about Trump with the Operation Warp Speed, right? That's how you made your bones, right?
From the jump, I mean, I definitely made a couple of them. I did the one about, I outed, because I was working at Fox at the time. So maybe you're thinking about that when they tossed me out when they forced me out of Fox for not taking the vaccines.
Yeah, but you also did like a video, going after Trump about the vaccines too, right?
I don't think I aggressively went after him. I mean, I definitely have criticized Operation Warp Speed, and I'm always discouraged when I hear him going out there and touting it like it's been a great thing.
That's my point, is like everyone's got an issue with, you know, this guy poisoning everybody, but then like everyone doubles down on their support for him when he doubles down on poisoning everybody. Yeah. How is Operation Warp Speed not genocide? You guys are like applauding Hitler, you know what I mean? Like you guys are like, yeah, gas chamber, like that's what makes me crazy. It's like you guys are like, yeah, this shot's poison, it's killing everyone, this, that, the other thing. Then Trump's like, yeah, it's great. Yeah, I did good. And you guys are like, woohoo, go Trump. So that's what's making this is like communism to the next level, gaslighting, you know what I mean?
Well, here.
And another thing. What's up?
Let me bounce off of that real quick. I think this is the key part, right? When I criticize him for warp speed, I criticize him for warp speed. When I talk about other things, though, I don't think all the things that come out of the Trump administration are bad. Warp speed, though, obviously, as someone who lost her job over the vaccine, heck yeah, I am critical of that. But I think there's a way about doing it, right? Because right now, I mean, we know, I talk about it all the time, the VAERS report's unreliable, but there are millions of people who have been injured by the vaccines. And so when he has, we talk about on this show all the time, I know Alex does as well, but we have Bill Gates showing up to the White House to have dinner with him, have meetings with him. We're fired up on this side about that because we understand it. I mean, we are MAHA people, so that makes sense on that front. But, you know, not everything from the Trump administration is bad, and I think we need to be balanced in our coverage on that.
Well, I disagree. I mean, I've watched Alex's videos and, you know, about martial law, about digital IDs, about, you know, the poison shots. He made all these videos years ago. And then you got a guy who gets in, who rolls it all out. And you guys are woohoo. Yeah, baby.
We did not do that, buddy. We did not do that. No, not a single, you can never find a clip of me going, woohoo, baby, on Operation Warp Speed or any of the vaccines. Again, I tout when he does good things. Operation Warp Speed isn't one of it. And in fact, I know Alex has never done any of that. We have no problem like saying, oh wow, what he's doing at the DOJ is great. When we saw today that the DOJ fired two people who were involved in J6, I said, that's good. But then I also criticized them earlier in the show as well for not doing enough to go after the lawfare individuals. So we do the balance report. I don't want to be a total black pill. Not everything in the administration is bad, but the warp speed, if you want to focus on warp speed, we have been very vocal about that. I don't think you could find a clip unless you have it with you now or you have a time and a day when Alex has ever said that. I know you can't find anything on me when it comes to warp speed saying it was a good thing. But is there any type of actual quote you have of Alex celebrating warp speed?
No, I'm just saying in general, if a guy poisons everyone and you still continue to freaking promote him, I mean, what's the difference? You know what I mean? The guy already poisoned the well. You know what I'm saying? He already poisoned everybody. And you guys are like, yeah, that's, you know, he poisoned everybody, but he's slicing bread over here. Look at him. Look at him go. Look at the guy slicing bread over. Oh, he poisoned everyone. I mean, like, and then he signed into the AI indemnification. I mean, this guy is the devil, man. And the whole left-right bullshit, we got to stop
it. All right. You know what I mean? Like, we can't curse. We're on radio. All right, let's go to the next caller because we can't curse. We're on radio. Thank you for calling, Michael, though. I just want to say before we go to the next caller, though, we are fair and balanced when it comes to criticisms of the Trump administration. We do our very best to do just that. I know I'm critical. I mean, guys, you're allowed to sit there and say that these elements are wrong, and then, but this is good, and this is what you like, and this is what you voted for, this is what you supported for. I'm not going to sit here and go and punch all the time. I mean, he is fighting a lot. Yes, there are things to be critical of, and we do just that. We do just that. But we're not going to sit here and be a black pill and go after the president and members of his administration for everything. We're allowed to have an opinion. Our opinions differ from show to show. Alex doesn't tell me what to say on his show, my show. We don't tell him what to say on his show. You're allowed to have an opinion. But when it's come to MAHA, I mean, InfoWars has been at the top of all of that. We never told you to take those vaccines. And as the caller just cited, sadly, before he cursed, because we can't have people on cursing, because we are on radio. But I wanted to just highlight that when all this was going down, Alex told you, and he even said it. Alex told you that the vaccines were poison. I literally quit my job and left Fox because they were trying to force me to take the jab. And then I went out and added Fox. And then I went out there and highlighted the fact that the FOIA request that came back for the Blaze highlights that all these media outlets took funding from the Biden regime to promote the jabs. So again, it's called being fair and balanced. We're not going to sit here and be negative all the time. We are going to be balanced. And I want to be balanced. So if you don't want balanced coverage, if you want someone who's going to be negative and black pill, it's not going to happen on this show. I'll give you the truth. I'll give you everything to it. I think I criticized the administration at least three times today. They're doing good things, though. You got to highlight the good things that are coming out of it. Alex literally talks about the AI issues, too, all the time. I mean, we just talked about the IDs. I'm literally suing the government still under Trump. I'm still suing to get access to information that they should have legally given me. So, Michael, we appreciate your call, my fellow New Yorker. But, buddy, I think you're way off on that one. Way off on that one. All right, we're limited on time right now, so I would take another caller, but then I'm going to have to cut them off because we're at about a minute left on the clock. So I appreciate everyone who called in, of course. We love and appreciate all of you for doing just that. And we're allowed to have these disagreements. I like it when you call. Michael was very respectful until he got to the cursing part, which we can't play on the show. I can't play it. I know we've got hot fingers over there, but we can't let one slip because we are on radio. But we appreciate everyone who's called in, and I'd love to hear from you guys, of course. Folks, right now, if you haven't done so already, you got to do it right now. Head on over to alexjonesapp.com because, well, folks, you never know when they're going to lock that front door. And this is an information war. They don't want the truth from coming out. That's why Alex Jones was wrapped up into the Arctic Frost documents. Of course, they don't like his sources. So if you want to stay in touch with us, best way to do so is to head on over right now. Download the app. It is officially available on Android as well as Apple. So head on over to alexjonesapp.com. When you do so, we'll gift you a 20% off promo code to go use over at the alexjonesstore.com. And the best part about that is you're going to get at 20% off, and you can use it on our new methylene red, which you pair up with the blue, of course, and it's going to be great for your brain health. So I'd highly recommend you all do just that. All right, folks. When we come back on the flip side of all of this, my girl Mel Kay is joining the show today. Mel's got a lot to sound off on because guess what? We just caught a Biden aide openly saying that if he got Biden reelected, that he was going to get a $4 million payout for that. Yeah, you won't believe it. We got the audio recording. We're going to show you in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. More American Journal to dive into.
I've been told for years to get bovine colostrum. It's the milk that a mammal produces as a cow in the first 2 weeks. It's the natural vaccine. It's super nutrients. It's growth factor. It's anti-cancer. It's everything. Ask ChatGPT what it's known to do. Upper respiratory tract infections and symptoms reduction. Attenuation of exercise-induced immune suppression. Antiviral and antibacterial effects. Stopping leaky gut. Support for gastrointestinal disorders, which is the whole body. Enhance recovery and reduce inflammation, metabolic health, wound healing, and tissue repair. It goes on and on. And we have the non-pasteurized, super concentrated. It is incredible. Get your bovine colostrum. The first run sold out quick. Back in stock. And when you buy bovine colostrum, the highest quality, theoxygenstore.com right now, you get 50% off on all the other supplements, the methylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the ultimate life force, all of it. 50% off right now when you get bovine colostrum back in stock at theoxygenstore.com, and it funds the second American revolution worldwide. Now, I was out at dinner a few weeks ago after my dad had heart surgery, and my mom and my dad were ranting and raving about how great the bovine colostrum was they got. The last run sold out. But it's now back in stock for only a few days if you buy it, already discounted, any other supplement, ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the spike protein detox, ultimate life force, they're all 50% off any other supplement when you get the bovine colostrum. It's so incredible. It's back in stock. Here's my parents at dinner. But Mom, you were literally without me soliciting. You've been on colostrum now 2 months. And we have the very best at theoxygenstore.com. And I'm serious. I didn't bring this up.
Tell us what happened. Testimonials that I have been on the colostrum for about 2 or 3 months. And a back problem that I've had since Alex was born is almost completely gone after 50, however many years. And my hair is much thicker than it has been. And I have good hair anyway, but it's much thicker. And this... it's brand new.
Turn darker.
And darker. Beautiful.
So who's convinced you to take it? Steve Heinberg or somebody?
Yeah, it was Mary Heinberg.
Yeah, they're really smart. Well, they're listeners. So, Mom, you got to listen. The products are amazing.
Well, this one, like I said, I don't do testimonials. There's a lot of good products, but this is the first one that I can go, whoa, it really does work.
No, it's funny. I didn't even know the Heimers, I guess, because Steve and Mary, like a year ago, your house, like, you need to sell this. So we started, and we got the best brand. It's the strongest. It's no joke. The first 2 weeks of a mammal's milk is totally different. It's like magic.
That back problem was from when you were born. I have a pinched nerve or something. I never really know what it
was. No, you can blame my whole life.
And it has bothered me. And I just go through the pain because if you're going to have it, you're going to have it, right? There's nothing to do about it.
Well, I haven't asked you this yet. Have you taken the methylene blue yet?
No, I'm scared of that.
Really?
I'm scared it'll make me like Roseanne Barr. Not that she's not wonderful. Just kidding.
You're afraid you'll be... though she came on the show like 6 months ago, and she said, I don't know if I can do it. She just felt sick. I gave it to her. She was bounced off the walls 30 minutes later.
How do you proportion this?
Well, you know, for some people, a generic supplement choice that's less, you know, radical than the methylene blue, which is incredibly powerful, might make more sense. Something like a methyl drive, a power plant, ultimate burn even. But especially if you're talking about younger people, methylene blue is radically powerful.
Absolutely. And then we've got the beauty queens. Love you, Charlotte.
I think we're good.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you guys are all joining us today. A lot going on today's show. I started my day off, my morning off, by shotgunning a Red Bull, sugar-free, of course. And it has me fired up, okay? I've been fired up all day. I almost even let an F-bomb slip accidentally, of course, but that's not what we're doing over here today. We are doing our very best to expose all the corruption, and I think we've done a pretty good job at that. I want to focus on what dropped late yesterday afternoon. We're learning more about how members of the Biden regime were incentivized to make sure that Joe Biden was reelected back into the White House. Interesting enough, there was a Biden aide who spoke to the Judiciary Committee, testified under oath, and detailed how he was going to allegedly get a $4 million bonus if Joe Biden was able to get reelected back into the White House. Take a listen to clip 17 and what he details there.
Were there any circumstances in which you would have received a bonus?
Yes, there was.
What were those circumstances?
That Joe Biden would have been reelected president of the United States.
What was the bonus of Ben?
I believe it would have been $4 million.
In addition to the $4 million that you were already paid?
Yes.
Wow, wouldn't that be nice to have a $4 million base salary plus an extra $4 million if you get a warm body back into the White House to make it look like he's actually working? Joining me to discuss is Mel Kay, host of The Mel Kay Show. And I'm sure she's fired up and ready to sound off on that front as well. Mel is also the author of the book Americans Anonymous as well, which is available right now on Amazon. Mel, it's good to have you on today. We're exposing a lot of the corruption that just dropped yesterday. We're understanding more and more. I mean, we've already talked about it, but we're learning more and more about how deep all of these deep state operatives went under the Biden regime to not only capture the power and to keep it, but also to try to pick off people in the Arctic Frost investigation. But I wanted to focus on this first. I wanted to talk to you about how this special advisor was somehow, some way, going to make $4 million if Joe Biden was reelected back into the White House. What do you make of that?
Well, first we have to talk about Don Elan himself. He's been working with Joe Biden for 20 years, mm-hmm. okay, first and foremost, his closest advisor, all of that. So we also have to assume that he's been traveling the world with him, be it to Ukraine or China or anywhere else. Worse than that is that it's not come out yet, I guess, that his brother, Tom Donilon, used to be the head, or might be again, of BlackRock's International Investing Institute. Well, when Joe Biden went into office, Tom Donilon became the chief, I guess, in the State Department of negotiations and trade with China. Oh. And then also we know a bunch of BlackRock people in the background as well. But also his wife, Donilon's wife, was basically the HR hiring manager of the Joe Biden auto pen presidency as well. So, you know, this whole family has been very intricately involved in the last 4 years. And when we look at all the things that happened during the Biden administration that benefited China and not the United States of America, it certainly makes you ask what was going on in there on the financial level, not just for the people inside the campaign, but the entire crew behind him. And you know, at the end of the day, I think it's time to really look at what these people were doing in there and who actually put Joe Biden in office, and what kind of deals were going on behind the scenes, particularly that affected the United States of America but benefited them financially.
Yeah, well, I think that's something that's key here. I didn't even realize how bad all of this was for this guy. I mean, the fact that this is happening, and again, there's very little accountability, but I would love to look at the finances of all of this. And you just outlined, too, how Mike was involved in the Chinese negotiations and working with China specifically. I think that's probably the key point, because I don't understand where they'd get this $4 million from in the first place. A little discouraged to hear that there wasn't a follow-up question on that. I'm sure it came from the campaign. But I looked at the campaign finances, and maybe someone coughed up from China the $4 million or something kind of related to China. I'd like to follow money on that.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised, because we know yesterday also a investigation kicked off of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's relationship with China and investment in China, particularly into the military industrial complex. But back to Tom Donilon, who was running the China, basically, desk of the State Department during the last 4 years. You know, BlackRock itself has been very, you know, intricately involved in China as well, particularly called out multiple times for funding military connected CCP, different startups and companies as well. So as we've discussed before on this show, shortly before everyone else dropped out, Larry Fink had a meeting with Joe Biden when he was, I think, probably Kamala Harris was the only one doing worse than him in the primaries. Within a week of the meeting, I believe, in January with Joe Biden, next thing you know, everyone dropped out except for Joe Biden, basically, and supported Joe Biden. So a lot is going on there. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, all the things that were ignored on Hunter Biden's laptop, having to do with international business dealings, while being vice president. Again, his son only has a suspected at this point pardon, back to, I believe, 2014, but maybe it's time to go back to the 8 years that Joe Biden worked for Barack Obama as vice president to really look at what the last 4 years were about.
Yeah. And they made sure to sign that pardon, have Joe sign that by hand. And I also want to highlight the fact that several Republican attorney generals were contacted in regards by Marco Polo, actually, who's mapped out the crimes that they believe that was committed by Hunter. And sadly, none of these Republican AGs even took up that legal fight or even tried to investigate it. So they all fell on the sword and just allowed Hunter to go on and go about getting that get out of free jail pass. And they have not held him accountable, which is really discouraging. But speaking of holding him accountable, I want to talk about, obviously, Joe and how his staffers are also being called out, because the committee has been interviewing them as well and specifically grilled them on Joe Biden's health. Which a lot of them actually would go on cable news shows and deny any type of mental decline, health decline at all. And they often did just that. But now they're being grilled in clip 18. You're going to hear how they changed their story when speaking under oath. Take a listen.
He often would confuse names.
You think it got worse as you knew him?
Yes.
Are you sure you're being honest with yourself when you say you have the mental and physical capacity to serve another 4 years?
Yes, I am.
I did not have the experience that it took him longer to answer simple questions.
He could stumble. He also stumbled some physically.
What is it, Chief?
It was something that we did not coin. It was something that the media coined.
Did you or did anyone ever verify if the videos you were talking about were, in fact, cheap fakes?
I believe so.
But there were instances where videos were circulated of President Biden appearing confused or freezing for a moment that were real, correct?
Not that I recall.
She told you this video of Biden getting lost in an Italian field was fake. Now she's saying, yeah, my White House was broken and I'm switching parties.
And was suffering from a cold that really constrained his voice and constrained his ability to be forceful in the debate.
Do you attribute President Biden's performance that night to him being under the weather?
That's my assumption.
The ability of Medicare to... for the ability to, for the us to be able to negotiate drug prices with the big pharma companies.
Had you ever seen him have a cold or the flu before?
Yes.
Did he ever behave the way that he did during the debate?
Not that I ever saw.
It was clear what he was trying to say.
Dealing with everything we had to do with, look, if we finally beat Medicare.
It was the people that knew he was cognitively impaired and that took over the auto pen. They stole the presidency of the United States.
Do you know who the people who were actually operated the auto pen were?
I do not.
Do you know any of the actual staff who were using the auto pen?
No.
You don't know their names?
No.
Have you never seen a decision memo laying out the breakdown of when the president should hand sign a particular set of documents?
Not prior to prep.
Did he hand sign all executive orders?
He did not. He hand signed many executive orders, but he did not hand sign all executive orders.
And Mel, it's important to note that they just reported this over at Fox that the investigation into the auto pen scandal is ramping up a bit in Delaware and D.C. right now. But ultimately here, you have a bunch of staffers who would go on cable news shows, lie about the president's or the so-called president's health, and then would now tell you the honest truth that, yeah, there was probably some issues behind the scenes. Even the cheap fakes that KGP was saying at the podium all the time, going out there and saying the videos that you see, they're not real. They're actually AI generated, when in fact they were. What do you think should happen to these people? Because what they did is absolutely criminal.
Well, the entire 4 years is criminal. I frankly believe they're going to find out about the 2020 election and the Transition Integrity Project and people like Neera Tanden, who's a lifelong, you know, Project for a New American Century type, she's with John Podesta again over at, what's his NGO? Center for American Progress. You know, all of these people have been in this pay or play game for decades. They are not new to this. And frankly, you see Klain, who was Obama's Obama's Ebola czar. Then he became basically the lead under Joe Biden for the entire COVID response and the mandatory vaccinations and everything. So Ron Klain should be looked in anyway. On top of that, Neera Tanden, frankly, she was the one that it seems was involved with the auto pen. She acts like she doesn't know what's going on. Jeff Zients was the one who gave, it looks like, Anthony Fauci the pardon. So again, all of this is well known. I also want to mention, as you brought up Marco Polo, that many people were saying that Joe Biden was already incapacitated before he took office to begin with. And if that is the case, and maybe they put him in there in order to continue running whatever game they were running during Trump's entire term, because as we both know, they were running a shadow government, a shadow foreign policy, undermining everything going on, not allowing Donald Trump to be the president and continuing down the path of Obama the entire time Trump was in office. So who's to say that this isn't just a continuation of that? Get Joe Biden. He's already incapacitated. Put him in front of people. Pump him up with drugs. We saw, you know, clearly that he had something going on with his hands and his arms and his neck. I mean, they were doing everything they could to have Joe Biden kind of stand up there. It's very sad. If Joe Biden wasn't such a despicable person, I would feel bad for him. I saw Donald Trump looking at him during the debate, kind of feeling bad for him. But you can't feel bad for somebody who has taken advantage of this country and clearly profited for decades off of his positions in public service. So at this point, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next, but all of these people, as far as I'm concerned, committed sedition and treason, and frankly, conspiracy to defraud the people of the United States of America on a grand scale. They should all be included in the grand conspiracy, because now we're finding not only was the January 6th committee working directly with Lisa Monaco and the DOJ, but it looks like all these people were working together the whole time to cover each other, cover each other's asses the whole time. So, you know, we need to look into the financial situation of the inner circle there, particularly the Donilons, all three of them, and Jeff Zients and Ron Klain, and then, of course, the Biden family. Many people say that Hunter Biden was very involved in the last 2 months and always around, and never forget that Jill Biden's assistant took the fifth, as did the doctor. The doctor also has conflicts. He has business dealings with James Biden. So a lot of this is going to come back to the original crime, in my opinion, before the election, which would be the 51 intelligence agents who defrauded the people of the United States of America by lying about Hunter Biden's laptop and signing off on it as Russian disinformation when they knew it was real since 2019, because that would have opened up the American people to see who Joe Biden and his family and the people surrounding him really were. And instead, we were deceived and they put him in office. And this looks very bad. I do hope that they get to the bottom of it, because to me, I think it was a plan all along to put Weekend at Bernie's in the office and run it behind the scenes. And do not forget about Anita Dunn and her husband, okay? Because Anita Dunn has been very involved. She was Obama's, I believe, communications manager. She worked for a little while for Weinstein when he was in trouble. She comes back in, and her and her husband apparently are as close to him as possible. And she's been in the Democratic machine for decades, including being a lobbyist and other things. So this tight circle around him, every single one of them should be under an investigation already. If they're not, I would be surprised. But, you know, we got to get to the bottom of it, because the entire 2020 to 2024, the United States of America was defrauded on the largest scale. And it was a continuation of the fraud and the color revolution that these same people encouraged and kicked off and cooperated in since 2016. But if 2020 to 2024 is not the biggest fraud ever perpetrated on the people of the United States of America, I would be surprised.
All right, Mel, well, since you brought that up, I actually have a topic I wanted to quickly discuss with you before we let you go, because I know you got a lot you're going on to the Mel Kay show in just a moment over on Rumble. But I wanted to have you kind of walk us through this response that we just recently got. I want to play clip five. It's MSNBC. They have the Colorado Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, on the program, and she's talking about Tina Peters. Tina Peters obviously blew the whistle on what she alleged was corruption in their elections. Take a listen to how Griswold is openly bragging about throwing Peters in prison for 9 years. Take a listen.
We have a sitting president trying to undermine democratic norms and attack our institutions on a near daily basis. But I can say with confidence, our elections and our systems have held strong. And as Secretary of State, I've increased their resilience. It is now a felony to access on an unauthorized basis voting equipment. And we've caught someone. Tina Peters, who is now serving 9 years of imprisonment because she tried to mess around with voting equipment in the state of Colorado.
All right, Tina Peters was charged on a state level, not a federal level, so President Trump can't pardon her. But your reaction to hearing Griswold sit there and brag about Peters being sentenced to 9 years in prison?
Well, first of all, that is also where Dominion is based, with all those lawsuits in Colorado as well. So, you know, you should keep that in mind. Also, she's the one who put out the passwords. Tina Peters was doing her job. Tina Peters saw serious anomalies. She was an elected election official. She saw issues, and she wanted to capture the evidence, which she did. That is why she is in jail, because she actually caught them. In the meantime, I do believe that Pam Bondi and the federal government can file a civil rights claim in this case. If you recall, Pam Bondi was involved in the George Zimmerman case. That was a open and shut self-defense case. But Eric Holder had contacted Pam Bondi as AG and wanted to open a civil rights case against George Zimmerman, and that was allowed. So in my opinion, I think this is a civil rights case that can be open to protect Tina Peters and get her out of there. She is also a witness of the 2020 election fraud and tampering that I believe will be proven as well. She is a great woman and a good friend and a strong lady and a gold star mother. Her husband, her father, both also died during this entire debacle with Jenna Griswold, and she sits there proud that it's a felony to touch election machines when the woman was elected to oversee the elections. It is just sickening to see every one of these people. They are the criminals. They project and they blame and they point fingers, when at the end of the day, I believe that finger should be pointing straight back at Jenna Griswold.
Yeah, yeah. And we're praying for Tina Peters. We want her out of prison right now. Hopefully the Trump administration could figure something out, whether it's withholding funding for Colorado or putting these politicians' feet to the fire. This has gone on for long enough, and she's not in the best health right now. Getting her out of there should be a top priority, we hope. And according to his True Social page, it is. So we really do hope that is the case. Mel, I want to thank you for joining us. Of course, you do an incredible job on the Mel Kay Show every single day. You're dropping a ton of content, and you're on Rumble. You're everywhere. You're on Twitter as well. So, folks, if you haven't followed her yet, make sure you do just that. Also, she's the author of Americans Anonymous, which is available right now on Amazon. So grab that book as well. Mel Kay, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. I love you. And we look forward to having you back on next week.
Thank you. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
You too, my friend. All right, things are kind of turning over for Tylenol right now. I want to get to a story that happened. And I don't know if we didn't cover it yesterday. I know I covered it on my X page and totally slipped my mind. Let me make sure I catch you up on it. Ken Paxton, the Texas Attorney General, yesterday filed a lawsuit against Tylenol makers. Now, he is claiming that the Tylenol company itself didn't do enough to warn pregnant mothers in regards to the dangers of taking Tylenol to unborn children. So he's looking to hold them accountable. And he is obviously down with the MAHA movement. He is one of the very few state AGs launching these types of attacks on companies that he thinks, and many of us would agree with, aren't doing much to help Americans remain healthy. And so a great lawsuit that he has just filed. He is the only shark that we have, I think, out of all the Republican AGs. I don't know anyone who comes near Paxton's office. They're constantly working, dropping lawsuits and going after companies and individuals who are trying their best to defraud the American people. And so it's just another point that Ken Paxton is just the best AG. And sadly, he's making his way to the U.S. Senate. And I don't mean sadly in the terms that it's sad. Just like, you know, I'm going to miss him. gonna miss him. Good news though is Aaron Wright, who's running for his seat, has been endorsed by Ken Paxton, and he says he's gonna carry on all these fights. We hope that is true. So we look forward to that. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about Zoe Ramadani, because apparently yesterday he's kind of facing two criminal referrals right now. It's coming from a watchdog, a financial watchdog, who has just referred him for allegedly taking foreign donations. They're saying that this breaches the FECA and New York election code. So again, that's what they're claiming here. Now, this comes after a New York Post report that dropped over the weekend, which outlined how they believe that Madani collected 13,000 donations from foreigners. That amounts to about 170 donations, individual donations. And this included a donation from his mother-in-law, who allegedly lives in Dubai and does not have a U.S. address. Now, this has been referred over to the DOJ, the DOJ's criminal division. And, I mean, this is just probably dead on arrival, but it was also forwarded over to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, who many of you know is Alvin Bragg. So we'll just claim it's like DOA at this point on that front. But the DOJ, maybe it has some life to it. Again, it's only $13,000, so near $13,000. So I have a feeling that they probably just refund those donors, and that might get him out of this criminal indictment at this point, or potential criminal indictment at this point. So again, it's just a criminal referral. But it's one of the many, as Zoe Ramadani we talk about on the show. I've been trying to warn people about this for months. Communists. I know there was a focus on his religion. I told you not to focus on his religion, because I said I have a feeling if you focus on the fact that he's Muslim, he's going to use that as the victim card that he could pull out. You know, they often do that. Whether it's women claiming that you're sexist if you criticize them, any type of minority groups, but specifically, especially if you criticize anyone who's Muslim, you're going to get called a couple of names. And we don't care for the names, obviously. It's not something that's going to defer us from citing the truth, but the reality of it is he could sit there and play victim, and he pats off his fake tears when he's crying about his dead aunt, who apparently is not a dead aunt, it's a cousin. And he was telling you that story about how his aunt couldn't take the subway anymore in New York City after 9/11 because she was the real victim. She wears a hijab, and apparently she can't get on subways anymore. He gave you a whole story, cried and everything, or cried. I didn't see a tear fall, but cried about it. I made it seem like his family was the real victims in all of this. Turns out, according to the New York Post, they say he lied. It wasn't his aunt. Apparently it was his cousin. His aunt never even lived in New York City. Must have been somebody he's really close with. That's why you got the fake watermark, the water show that he gave you. Crying his eyes out. Fraud. Most of them are, though. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. Available now on Android. We launched that last week, and we're very excited about that. We're also available for Apple as well. Best part is we're like number one right now on all of the charts these days. We're beating out all of the mainstream media apps, their news, so-called news apps. So if you want to help us really tick off those on the left, download the app, alexjonesapp.com. You'll also stay in touch with us, of course, whenever they decide to lock the front door here. We're heading over to our next platform, so do just that. Download the app, and also just a little incentive we'll throw your way for helping us out. We'll give you 20% off that you could use for your next purchase over at the alexjonesstore.com. When you use that promo code, you do so over at the app menu. So do just that. And a lot happening over at the alexjonesstore.com. Like I told you yesterday, we just launched the methylene red. It's perfect if you want to pair it up with the blue, if you haven't done so already. And it's definitely something that you're going to want to do to improve your brain health. So do just that. I don't know if brain health is the official medical term. I am not a scientist, but I do know great products when I take them. And I could use, now that I wake up at like 3 in the morning every day, 4 sometimes, definitely use all the help I get. So do just that. Join me over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, folks, that does it for me here on the American Journal, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm actually still going to remain in place, because I'm actually going to go on with Alex in just a little bit to break down everything that we've uncovered so far regarding Arctic Frost. Now, there's a lot happening there. I told you Alex's name popped up in the document dump from yesterday, but I'm calling around. I'm getting my sources together, and we've got a lot to discuss. So head on over with me to the Alex Jones Show. That's up next. Don't go anywhere. I'll be on with Alex in just a bit. Until then, though, I'll see you all here again tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
There is a white supremacy problem, and it's weird, old, elitist white people that are literally manipulating everybody, killing each other so they can stay in power. And it pisses me off when I sit there pissed off watching this, watching these wild-eyed, crazy people that want to kill me because what color I am. I know who brainwashed them. I know who wound them up. I know who sent them. I don't blame the dumbasses. No, I blame Carbo and John Podesta and the Clintons and Obama and the rest of them. That's who I blame. I know they got whistleblowers out the door at the DOJ. The problem is they don't have prosecutors with testicles to do the job. Can you feel the future? Can you feel the danger? Can you feel the destruction? I certainly do. But I don't think you dumbasses that serve evil do. See, you're in a new ball game. It's a new era. And you know what Thomas Jefferson said? The blood of patriots and tyrants waters the tree of liberty. And I don't want that. And there's a good chance we can avoid a lot of that. But not according to the left. They are just whole hog, let's get it on. And so, you know my view, I think it's your view, not out starting fights, not trying to get in trouble. But if people are looking for trouble, they came to the right place. If you want a war, you got one. If you have some need to be stomped into the ground, well, you came to the right place with the American people. Because America was asleep, and you thought we were intimidated while you pissed in our faces and did all this to us. No, people were asleep. The spell is lifted. It's over. You need to learn to look at a weather vane and see which way the wind blows. It's blowing against you, and this wind, this headwind, is unstoppable. The only question is, are you smart enough to understand that? Surrender is your only option. Surrender now. Give up now. Stop now.